ജയ വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭിചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിതില പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധരഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദപ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ദാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്ത കുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്രകൃതിഭിഃ ശുശ്രൂഷുഭിഃ തൽക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോ ഗളിതം ബലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ ഈശോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ ആപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമാം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദം അവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഹില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കുണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം കനികാവി കാവികാവി നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദം പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം പദാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമീ കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാഠായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്തതാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാല ബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ ത്വോത്രവേ ത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം ഹംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവരീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമലം പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദേർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ശ്രീ പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഉവാചാം ബ്രഹ്മാദയ സുരഗണാ മുനയോധ സിദ്ധാം സത്വൈകദാനമദയോ വചസാം പ്രവാഹൈ നാരാധിതം പുരുഗുണൈരധുനാ ബിവിപ്രോ കിം തോഷ്ടുമർഹതി സമേ ഹരിരുഗ്രജാതേ മന്യേ ധനാബിജനരൂപതപശ്രുതൗചാം സ്തേജപ്രഭാവഫലപൗരുഷബുദ്ധിയോഗാം നാരാധനായി ഭവന്തി പരസ്യ പുംസോ ഭക്ത്യാതുദോഷ ഭഗവാൻ ഗജയൂഥവായ വിപ്രാദ്വീക്ഷഗുണയുതാദരവിന്ദനാഭ പാദാരവിന്ദ വിമുഖാച്ചുവജം വരിഷ്ഠം മന്യേതദർപ്പിതമനോവചനേ ഹിതാർത്ഥ പ്രാണം പുനാദി സകുലം നദു ഭൂരിമാനാം സോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ പ്രഹ്ലാദ സ്തുതി വി ഹാവ് ജസ്റ്റ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് വാട്ട് വി Prahlada is saying is that taking shelter in this world, shelter always Krishna, not Dravyam. Dravyam means wealth and other things. If you take shelter of other things, it will end up in disappointment. So, never to take shelter of dravyam. Dravyam means generally wealth, bank balance, assets, other things. Whatever, everything is covered in the word dravyam. So, Krishna also indicates that in the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that verse. Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta sapnava bhodasya, yogo bhavati dukhaha. A person is in the yoga state when everything is done in moderately. In other words, yukta ahara, what is necessary, one has to eat. Yukta ahara viharasya. Vihara means recreation. Whatever necessary little recreation if you need, you may have to do that. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. According to the karmam, how the cheshta happens through the body, that should be also yuktam. Everything yuktam. Yuktam means only what's minimum necessary. That's all. That's what it means. Only what's necessary should be done. Yukta sapnava bhodasya. Then even in the dream state, in the deep sleep, if it is controlled, there also you will experience the same benefit from that. Yukta sapnava bhodasya yogo bhavati dukha. The person will come to the platform of yoga system, yoga state, rather than being absorbed in the material experiences. So, Ajahnya Swamiji mentioned this in the Bhajagovindam prayers, you will see, Yallabhase nija karmopatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam. He says there. Then, whatever necessary to live in this world, earn that, and live in that way, it will give happiness. Because wealth is only a product for vyavaharam in this world. Vastu for vyavaharam purposes. But paramarthiyam level, in the absolute level, it won't help very much. It won't help very much. So therefore, if you have wealth, use it in the proper way. Propagating Krishna consciousness in various ways, whichever is possible. But you, as much as you keep giving, you will get free from that problem. They give the example that when they cross the river in the boat is filled with water because there is a lot of leakage in the boat. So you will see the boatman throwing the water out all the time. Similarly, if wealth is getting accumulated, not to allow that to accumulate to that extent. It should be straight away used for purposes, because when the fall of the body, when the body drops away, everything drops along with it. Isn't it? So, we should never believe that through social service, you will acquire Brahma Vidya. Brahma Jnanam, Brahma Vidya won't happen through social service. That Pramudhaha. Pramudhaha, he is only a... Social service is necessary. It's a necessary evil in that sense. It's a necessary evil. For example, hospital is necessary, isn't it? But if it has become necessary for you to go to hospital, that is an evil. That's a relationship. Hospital is necessary, but if I have to go to hospital, then it's an unfortunate situation. That's all. That's how it is. That's the relationship with the hospital. Similarly, food is necessary. We have to eat because we feel hungry. But the fact that we are feeling hungry is the evil. The fact that you are getting sick is the evil. The fact that you are feeling hungry is the evil. So, if there is no hunger, that will be the best situation. If there was no hunger, that would be the best situation. But it's impossible. Hunger will come, therefore food is necessary. That's all. Similarly, diseases are coming. You can't stop them coming. And therefore, unavoidable, we have to go to hospital, take these medicines and all. But it is better always if the diseases don't come. If the diseases don't come, if the hunger don't come, that is the best situation. But because they are coming, these kind of things are necessary. Food is necessary, hospital is necessary, and things like that. So because of that, these necessity has become an evil. It has become an evil, necessary evil, as they call it. Necessary evil. It is an evil, but it's necessary. So these kind of things, what are necessary in life, you should not connect it up with the absolute truth. You should not link that with the absolute truth. Worldly matters, you have to learn to live in the world. Worldly matters, you have to live in the world. Where you have to keep it, there you have to stop it. And you have to make sure that all the time what we have is not consumed by those things. That's up to individual to make sure that all the time what we have in this world is not consumed by these necessary evil things. So if you leave all your time for that, and if you leave behind the absolute knowledge of the absolute or the Brahmavidya, then be unable to chant the holy name, unable to absorb in the mananam or shravanam or salsangam or nididhyasanam, if you don't have any time for that, then what is the use of this? What did you gain from that life? Is it not? So even at the age of 80, if you are running around for fulfilling all the necessary evils, then what kind of life is that? So that is why ayur nashyati pashyadam pratidanam yadikshayam yauvanam pratyayantigatam punarnadivase kalo jagalpakshaka lakshmi stoya taranga bhanga chakvala vidyuchalam jivitam tasmanam sharanagatam saranadatvam raksharakshadhuna. In this verse, Acharya is saying there that three phrases he says, raksha, raksha, raksha. He says, as soon as you can see that people are looking at their life and they're saying, you can see yourself that at the moment you have the youthfulness is there in the body, but after 10 years you look at yourself, after 10 years you look at your own body and see what's happening, then no matter how much you have painted it, people will know it. How much you have painted the body, people will know it. You can cheat others outside, other people, but you can't cheat yourself, can you? Because even if you do that, because of the age, you will feel weakness in the body, tiredness, and also all the other problems will start popping up in the body. This test, blood test, that test, this test will start one after the other. You can dress up yourself nicely and cover your body with all kinds of things to give a feeling of youthfulness. But inside the body, what's happening? What will you do? That problem still remains. You'll be still going with your so-called youthful body. You'll be running to hospital or elsewhere, isn't it? So nothing will come back. Once it's gone, it's gone. So those days or youthful days are not going to come back. And what does the time do? Time is called the greatest swallower. It swallows everything, isn't it? That time has got the greatest hunger. It eats up everybody, everything in this world. So there is no other deity who is so powerful like the time, who can consume and swallow everything and everybody in this world. What does it do? It keeps on eating us all the time. And every hourly, daily, monthly, yearly, yugam-wise, kalpam-wise, everything is keep on finishing up everybody. So that is why they say that, and we don't know what is going on here. In that situation, the only shelter is Krishna. The only shelter is Krishna. So, and death is also coming, death is also coming closer. That is what that verse. Ayur nashyati pashyadam pratidinam yadikshayam yauvanam pratyayantigadam punarna divasab kalo jagalbakshaga lakshmi stoya taranga bhanga chapala vidyuchalam jividam tasmanam sharanagadam saranadatvam raksharakshadhuna. So that verse is mentioned in that way. And so you may ask the question, is it necessary to say all these things? Because you have come to Salsangam to feel some relief from the miseries of the world. And there also people are frightening us. In the world also already everybody is frightening. But when you come to Salsangam also, you get frightened when you people repeating all these things, isn't it? But that fear is a kind of energy. It's a kind of energy that will come from that. And if you channelize that energy in the proper direction, it will develop into bhakti or jnanam. It can become bhakti or jnanam. So that bhayam or fear is an important energy for us to turn into bhakti or to knowledge, isn't it? So everybody is utilizing this fear in us in this world. Everybody utilizes the fear, including the insurance companies. They utilize our fear in life, is it not? That's what they do with us. So, so bhakti is, but out of all the things, from this fear, what comes out is that everything else, what others exploit this fear, what they give it to you in return is temporary. But if the same fear, if you utilize in the bhakti process, it becomes eternal benefit. That is the difference. The fear is same. Everybody utilizes our fear in life. Insurance companies and government, tax people, all of them. They're always threatening you and frightening you, isn't it? Do this. If you don't do this, you'll be red. Paper will come and then you'll be in the prison after that. So, like this, the threatening process going on everywhere. But, and in the satsangam also, we say so many things. Probably it causes a bit of uneasiness and fear in the mind. But what it is that this fear, if it is channeled or properly directed, it can develop into bhakti and jnanam. That is the advantage. Unlike the other things. Other things are temporary, what you will gain from that. But here there is a benefit that it will develop into bhakti or jnanam. That is what, whichever direction you look, you can see that fear existing. Death, old age, disease, distress, all kinds of problems. Seeing all these things, Prahlada is saying here, you can't trust wealth. Manye dhanabi, that's how he begins that. Manye dhanabi, janarubata bashrudhoja. Second verse, that is the Prahlada's verse number 9 here. Manye dhanabi janarubata bashrudhoja, teja prabhava balamaurusha buddhi yogaha. Naradhanaihi bhavandi parasya pumso, bhaktiyatu dosha bhagavan gajayutha payaham. Then, so, don't trust the wealth. That's Prahlada's advice to anybody who has come to spiritual life. Dravyam, Krishna is for shelter, dravyam is for vyavaharam. As long as we remember that, dravyam is only useful for vyavaharam. Nothing else. In the paramarthika level, Brahmavidya, dravyam doesn't help. Dravyam doesn't help for Brahmavidya. But vyavaharam, you can do with that. Not for shelter. That is the fundamental, that's why he began with wealth. Manye dhana abhi. Then abhijanam. Abhijanam means relatives. Everybody thinks, I've got so much good connections, they say. What connection? It's well. People have, he's well connected, they say. Lot of connections they've got, and the top level, that too. So, that also won't be of any help. When you are in trouble, there will be nobody except Krishna. If Krishna is with you, you don't need anybody. And if Krishna is not there, no matter who it is with you, it is of no use also. For example, they say that, why people get married, in the normal strictly sense, they say, when you are old, there must be somebody to look after you. Isn't it? Then they will say like that, traditionally in the families, they'll say, when you get old, there must be someone to care for you. But in the modern world, even that doesn't apply. So everywhere you look, you see only brahmacharis and brahmacharinis everywhere. So that is the use. He's saying here, then what will happen is that the person you are married, you will have to look after that person at the old age. It will develop into that way. You have got married thinking that at old age somebody will look after you, and then at the old age what happens, you will have to look after that person also. So, because either he or she doesn't have the health in that way. And then it becomes your responsibility it becomes your duty to care for the other person. So, nothing you can trust here. That is that second one, abhijanam. Abhijanam is that. Dhanam is wealth. Abhijanam means with whom you have made relationships, with the impression that at the old age it will all come to your help, but it won't come. Then, abhijanam includes also your own children, that you have brought them up and thinking that they will be there for you to care, but ultimately you may have to look after them at the old age. It can happen. Because if you look with intelligence and analyze life in this world, this this fun you can see everywhere happening. So we will be keep on planning in our life so many things, but when you need that care and attention, there will be nobody. We want it that children will look after you, have thought like that, but they are nowhere nearby. They are 10,000 miles away. They are living their own life somewhere else. So at that time, that is the way Maya works. There is nothing you can do about all these things. That's the way the world goes. So nobody else. In Ekanath Swami's story, in the Bhagavatam story, there is a story about Ekanath, that Krishna came and looked after him for 12 years. 12 years Krishna stayed with him and served him and looked after him. This experience that one, what happened to Ekanath, that Ekanath's old age was like that. Krishna had to get involved and Krishna took care of Ekanath all the last 12 years in his life. So one who does not have anybody to care for, somebody else will come and with that bhakti and shraddha, that Krishna has looked after devotees in many, many, many instances in life. That thing is well known. Ekanath is one example. There are many other instances also where that when it was required, when help was required and service was required, Krishna has come and cared for them through different people, it has happened. So when you see that happening, you can realize that actually Krishna is looking after us, not family members or the money. Nothing can look after us. You will see, if at that point in time, if you have lived in a Krishna conscious way, Krishna will make sure that help comes to you at that point through some source. It will happen. You will never know who that person will be or who that source will be. But through some way, that help will arrive to you at that point when you need it. So that is why. So Krishna keeps somebody as a upadhi. Upadhi means a medium. And through that, he will look after the devotee. So, and if Krishna leaves you, Krishna didn't care for you, then you may have a good wife, as many children, as many grandchildren, no, and relations, bank deposit, everything, but nothing will come useful at the time of danger, at the time of need, at the time of necessity. And then nothing will come to your use. It will be taken away. In some form it will go from your hands. That you will only know when you observe things in this world. You will understand this happening. Again and again, it's a well-known thing. Manye dhanabhi janarupatapashradavcha teja prabhava phalapaurusha buddhi yoga naradhanai bhavandi parasya pumso bhaktyatu dosha bhagavan gajayutapayam. Next one, abhijanam, then rupam. Dhanam, abhijanam, rupam. Rupam, if you look at a person, he looks very good, looks young, looks youthful. How long? That's the question, isn't it? So, will you be satisfied with that form? Because that you can see in this world, if you carefully look, you will see people who are very, very beautiful and who have looked after their body because a lot of people are admiring their beauty and all that. But how happy are they? And because what happens is, normally when you become very beautiful, that ahankaram will come in the body. But it will not develop bhakti. Ahankaram will develop. That I am beautiful. Or I am young, I am youthful. All kinds of things will develop from that. So bhakti will not develop from that. Not only that, one's own beauty, one cannot see. Others are seeing your beauty and saying that you are beautiful. Isn't it? So, how long can you look at that? That is also not permanent. That is what Prahlada is saying there. Mani, dhanam, abhijanam, rupam. Then the next one, tapasya. Tapasya. Some person who has got a lot of tapasya, he has performed a lot of penances and very strict about his life in this world. Ajaram, anushtanam, everything is done properly. But even, Prahlada is saying there, even you may have all that, but if there is no bhakti in that, then it's also not much of a use. Prahlada's judgment is so precise that in anything, if there is no bhakti, then it is of no use. That's what he's saying. Why? He says, my father has performed so much penances, but he had no bhakti. Similarly, his brother Hiranyaksha also performed penances, but there is no bhakti. What is the benefit? What's the use? So, they starved themselves and performed such severe penances. And but because there was no bhakti in them, there was no sharanagati there, or it was not offered to Krishna the results, therefore that their tapasya or austerities is also was a waste of time. It may give you some siddhis you may get, or willpower will come, but it will not give you brahmavidya. It will not give you knowledge of the self. And Acharya Swami mentions this in the Bhashyam also. Though he says there, in the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam he says, people think that by austerities they can get knowledge of the self or brahmavidya. But he mentions very precisely there that austerities and penances on its own cannot develop knowledge in a person. It's a very important thing. People take that I have to be very austere and I have to be very perform serious penances and everything. Tapasya is good, but tapas on its own will not give you spiritual knowledge. Knowledge of the self, self-realization, brahmavidya, alpavidya will not happen. Self-realization will not happen simply by performing austerities. So, for knowledge, mananam nididhyasanam, that you hear the truth and internally by reflection, contemplation, that way you have to absorb that truth inside yourself through, or that is through the knowledge process, or through bhakti process by sharanagati, continuously surrendering to Krishna. So, but by tapasya, austerities, knowledge won't develop. Because the reason is, tapasya is also, austerity is also an effort. It's an effort, isn't it? So, if you have an effort, from that a result will come, that's all. Some result will come from that. Just like you can see, you have chanted the holy name for billions and billions of times, but if you have done that with ego inside and willpower, with the willpower, from there you will develop some siddhi from that. And but instead, if you have executed all that, chanting the holy name with that surrender, bhagavadarpanam, what Krishna calls it as madashraya. If it is done like that, that surrender will eventually, what will happen is that dissolve that hangaram inside and it will bring and give it to you, your swarupam in your realization. You will realize your swarupam in your realization, and that is weak in the form of Krishna's grace. It will come. Kripa, it will come. So, therefore, what we do is not very important. But how you do it, that's more important. What you do is not the important thing. Because we have this thing in our psyche, thinking that I've done so much. So what you do is not important, but how you do it is important. That is what he's saying here. Shrutauja, next one. Shrutauja, that Shrutauja means, from the tapasya, you have to understand that what you do is not important, how you do it is important. That is what tapasya is saying to us. Shruti is saying to us, Shrutaujam, you have studied a lot, Shastram, you have studied a lot. Prabhupada is saying that is also not of much of a use, because there are many, many great scholars who at the end of their life die without any satisfaction. They know all the Vedantam, Siddhantam, everything. But at the time of death, no use. Because there was no surrender inside. Bhakti is important, Prahlada is stressing there. that if there is no bhakti in the heart, all your efforts also eventually will become not much of a use. Then, śrūta ujasteja prabhāva. For example, tejas. Prior to that he says that the senses, people have got a lot of power in their senses. And say for example, somebody has got good strength in their senses. That means that he has a good strong mind, strong intelligence, strong analytical mind, all his eyes, intelligence, able to capture things, all these things. Brahmachari life he has led. Even if you have all that, and you have gone to a spiritual master, surrendered to him, and if you have surrendered there, then and realized the spiritual knowledge, if you do not stay in that state all the time, what will happen is that experience what you have. Say for example, you have studied Shastram and performed Brahmacharyam, everything, went to a spiritual master, learned from him the Shastram, surrendered to him, took his shelter, and you have a little realization from that. But if it is not stable inside, if it is not staying there permanently, then what will happen? It will be like a car which you have filled petrol. But for last 10 years you have filled it petrol and kept it there. You were not able to use it. Similarly, you have a lot of energy, what you have created from your austerities and brahmachari life and everything, but it is of no use. It is of no use. Because it's like, they compare that, a car fully filled with petrol and kept there but never used it. Similarly, you have performed all the brahmachari life, and you have performed a lot of austerities, and you have studied all the Shastrams, but you didn't have realizations. So, in that case, it is that body, that person, is like a car filled with petrol and kept there, but never used. Because ultimately, if you haven't got Brahmavidya, or self-realization at the end of the life, got out of this body, the goal you haven't got, you haven't achieved there. So, you can see this in world also. Many very, very powerful personalities who have shaken this world with their power. Like, for example, Hitler. If you look at Hitler's life, you look at him, he was a brahmachari in that sense. Had no contact with the female in his life. To a large degree, he stayed away from them. He was a pure vegetarian as well. Added to all that. He stayed with vegetarianism. And never touched meat or anything. He learned a lot of things like this to develop that strength inside. But what happened at the end? What use to this world? Except that he has destroyed a lot of people and created a lot of hell for so many other people. So, himsa. Himsa means violence. Use that word, isn't it? So, that is also energy. But the only thing is, he didn't know where to use that energy. For what purpose? He had to use the energy. And if he had used this, if it has not been used for realizing the self, that same energy will create a lot of problem for the person. Many personalities have done this. They have acted in this way, that if they have not utilized for self-realization, that energy, instead, that energy will flow in another direction and create a lot of havoc in this world. So, havoc in this world. That is that next word, tejasa. Tejasa means that capacity to control others. Capacity to bring everybody under control. That is tejasa. Teja prabhava balapaurusha buddhi yoga. That prabhavam. Prabhava means the mind, power of the mind. And balam means power of the body. Power of the body. And and paurusha buddhi yoga. Prabhavam, Balam, Pavirusham, Buddhi Yogam. Pavirusham means willpower. Pavirusham is willpower. Buddhi means good intelligence. Good intelligence. Yogaha. Bala Pavirusha, Buddhi, Yogaha. Yoga means Ashtanga Yoga, one who has practiced the yoga process. So all these things we have to understand in the proper way. That means Prahlada has not said that they are all bad. You must remember that. He is not saying that they are all bad things. He is saying that you may have all these things, but Naradhanaihi parasya bhavandi parasya pumso bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayudhapaya. All these things are not enough, he is saying. Because bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayudhapaya. An elephant got Krishna. An elephant got Krishna. How did he get that? Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayudhapaya. Through sharanagadi and surrender he got it. Elephant didn't have any of these things. Ashtanga yogam, tejasya, prabhavam, all these things. But what did this elephant do? Elephant did surrender. That was its qualification. That is the point Prahlada is bringing out there. He is not saying any of them is bad, but what he is saying is, to get Krishna, this is not enough. To get Krishna, dhanam, abhijanam, tapasya, rupam, shatauja, tejasya, prabhavam, balam, bhavirusham, buddhi, yogam. All that is not enough. That's what he is saying there. That's not good enough, because through sharanagadi or surrender you get Krishna. This elephant, Gajendra he's talking about, is surrendered to Krishna and he got it. He surrendered to Krishna, he got it. That is the important principle spoken there. That's the important principle spoken there. You will see this verse, what is spoken there, it's also in other prayers as well. You can notice this. Naratvam Devatvam Shivananda Lahari. Ajari Swami mentioned exactly the same thing. Naratvam Devatvam Nagavana Mrigatvam Mashakata Pashutvam Kidatvam Bhavadu Vihagatvadi Jananam Sada Tulpadabjasmarana Paramananda Lahari Viharasaktam Ched Pudaya Mihahim Tena Vapusha. So Naratvam Devatvam. Naratvam Devatvam, he says, that whether you got a human body, what is the use? What is the use? There are so many human bodies in this world. You got a demigod's body, what is Devatvam? What is the use? If there is no bhakti. Naratvam Devatvam, Nagavanam Mrigatvam Mashagata, Pashutvam Kidatvam Bhavadu, Vihagatvadi Jananam. Sada tulpadambhoja smaranam paramananda lahari. He says, viharasaktam ched hridaya mihakim tena vapusha. He is saying here, it does not matter whichever womb, whichever yoni or womb you have taken birth out of the 8.4 million, wherever you have taken birth, it does not matter. See these 12 things that is mentioned there. Dhanam, abhijanam, Rupam, tapasya, shutamsa, ojasya, tejasya, prabhavam, balam, paurusham, buddhi, yoga. There's 12 of them. That's what Prahlada is saying there. So, again, in the next verse, if you look, you will see that a Brahmana who has got these 12 things, Viprad Dvishad Gunam. Dvishad means 12. 2 times 6. Dvishad. 2 times 6. And for a Brahmana has these 12 qualities in him. Little differences, it is spoken in the Shastram in many places about a Brahmana. About these 12 qualities. Viprad Dvishad Guna Yudhadaravinda Nabha Padaravinda Vimukham Shobajam Varishtam Manyetadarpida Mano Vajanehidartham Pranam Punadi Sakulam Nadubhurimana. Sanal Kumara Maharshi, in his Sanal Sujadiyam, he mentions 12 qualities of a Brahmana. What are they?
dharmam, religiosity, satyam, truthfulness, dhamam, control of the senses, tapas, austerities, amalsaryam, not competing with others, hri, straightforwardness, titiksha, tolerance, anasuya, freedom from envy, yajnam, dhanam, dhriti, shrutam, pradhani. Like that there are 12. Yajnam means performing sacrifices, dhanam, charity, dhriti, sharpness inside, then shrutam, vratam. Shrutam means knowledge of the shastram, vratam, austerities and penances. Like this. 12 things are spoken in this Anal Sujadiyam as the qualities of a brahmana. Dhamam, indriya nigraham. Dhamma means control of the senses. Tapascha. Tapascha means a brahmana should never keep his body comfortable. Brahmana is not allowed to have his body in a comfortable state. And brahmana, and how does Krishna say that in the Bhagavadam? Brahmanasya hi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshyate. He said Krishna has given a special concession to the brahmana that you stay here austere and control in all aspects. Don't look for any kind of comfort in life. All the time in severe austerities and penances. In that way you live and be satisfied with what is there in life, what comes in life. That was their strength, always. And that satisfaction inside. But inside always peaceful and satisfied, not desiring anything. Krishna is saying, brahmanas, if you look into the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see this. Krishna says that, brahmanasya hi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshyate. It is in the where he says that who has gone in that direction, Krishna says, mentions there, brahmanasya hi dehoyam kshudragamaya. He criticizes them for that. If he lives opulent life, or if he lives in a very it's somewhere around in that when he talks about the Varnashrama Dharma, I think he mentions there. It comes. That's in the chapter 17th, 18th. In that, you'll see that. Yeah, 42. 11, 17, 42. Brahmanasya hi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshyate krichraya tapase cheha pretya ananda sukhaya cha. He is supposed to have 100% faith in the Shastram. He is supposed to have 100% faith in the Shastram. What Krishna is saying, he is doing that. Therefore they are called Brahmana, for that reason. What is the quality of that? Brahmana sehi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshyate. Krishna is saying, kshudragama means trying to get little pleasure from this world. That is kshudragama. Not proper kshudragama. Krichraya tapase cheha. Krichraya tapasa. Tapasa means austerities, very severe austerities and penances. Krichraya tapase cheha. If he lives like that, what will happen? Pretya ananda sukhaya cha. Krishna says when he leaves the body, Krishna says, I will give him the highest happiness, which is spiritual happiness. He will get it. He said. So, you can see here what does he say? Prahlada is saying, Dishal Gunayuda Daravindanapha. Like Sanakumara Maharshi talks about these 12 things. So, he, Brahmana, he should always give, not torture, always put the body in a very austere state. He should maintain his body in a very austere conditions. Because Krishna has given him something what others don't have it. What is that? That realization inside about spiritual knowledge and self-realization. He has got that inside him. So he has been given a gross body and a subtle body for that purpose. He shouldn't get absorbed in the gross body. Instead, he should develop within the self. That's what he's saying here. So therefore, because he should give problem to the body by not caring for the body so much. That's why in the ancient times, if you look at their life, not anymore now, but in the olden days, there are few people who have that lifestyle still, very, very few. But sometime, say about 100 years back, it was very much a practice among them that from morning waking up at 3 o'clock, if they continue their upasana or nitya anushtanam sadhana and their agnihotram, this one thing after the other, by the time they finish their responsibilities for spiritual responsibility, it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When will they have their first glass of water? Up to that time, continuously absorbed in the spiritual activities. One thing or the other, deity worship, Srimad Bhagavatam, one thing or the other, they will keep themselves busy like that. They won't have time even to have a glass of water till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The first time he will have his first drink in the day. What to talk about food? That's how they lived. That's how they. And there were people like that. There were many people who are slow, fast, it is disappearing. Now, everything in that category of people. So you can see that it is not a false thing. It is Krishna has instructed that people are. So, nitya anushtanam tapasya. Daily activities, that is their tapasya. What else? What do you see the difference in the proper Brahmana? Amal Sairyam. They are not there to compete with anybody. They are not there to compete with anybody. They are not there. That's not in their nature to compete with others. Or that's called Malsarabuddhi. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam begins with that, isn't it? Nurmalsaranam sadam vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tavatrayon mulanam dharma projidam kaidavotravaramo nurmatsaranam sadam nurmatsaranam. No malsaryam with anybody. No competition. They're not into this competition business. So that's not in their psyche, in their thinking. That's not their nature. Then what is the next one? Hri. Hri means, this is the Sanat Kumara Maharshi's definition. Hri means always not jump into the front and do everything. A little bit withdrawn from everything. Withdrawn from everything. That means not to present yourself as somebody important in this world in front of everyone else, but rather keep a low profile in everything. Keeping a low profile. Withdrawing from so. And then Titiksha. Titiksha means no matter how much distress comes in life, never affected by that. Able to maintain that balance inside. Titiksha, tolerance, isn't it? In the Ajari Swamiji mentions also that. In the Sahanam Sarvadukhanam Apradigara Purvagam Chinda Vilabarehidam Sa Titiksha Mitigatyade Viveka Chudamani. It will see this verse. What does Titiksha means? Titiksha means Sahanam Sarvadukhanam. All distress is coming. Because distress will come. That is the nature of the world. But while that happening, Apradigara Purvagam, people will come and give you all the trouble. But no revengeful nature in them. That is a Brahmana's quality. Brahmanas are not revengeful. That is their greatness, isn't it? Whereas in this world, what do you see? Revenge for everything. You say, you have done this to me, so I'll show you what I can do to you. This is the mood here. So that is why they are different than us. Brahminical nature is like that. That apradigara purvagam chinda vilabarehidam. Then when distress comes in life, then they don't complain about it. Tolerate it. Quietly tolerating things. That capacity, strength inside to tolerate things. So, and they won't go running around all over the world telling their problems in this world. And not frightened about also. That is what it is. Sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigara purvakam chinda vilavarahidam sa tidiksha iti kathyade. All these things are, Viveka Chudamani is the best book. If you want to understand on a gradually everything what is required for spiritual life. That's why of all the Prakarana Grandhams Ajarya Swamiji has written, Viveka Chudamani is considered to be one of the best for that. Then, Anasuyaha. Anasuya means no envy inside. No envy inside. Yajnam. Yajnam means the whole life itself is for a Brahmana, is a yajnam. It's a sacrifice for him. Then,
And if anything comes extra in the hands, he will give in charity. He won't keep it. If anything comes extra in the hand, he will give in charity. That is the nature. Not to keep anything. You may not know, there are many people that were like that, who won't keep anything to themselves. And people will come and give them, seeing their that vairagyam and that knowledge and that titiksha. People get attracted by these qualities when you see that in them. Is it not? And their simplicity and that freedom from envy and not competing with anybody. All these good qualities when you see, a lot of people, when they recognize that, if that person is like that, you will get come across these people very often in the temples, in ashrams and all that. But and seeing that, others will come and offer them wealth. But they won't keep it. As soon as they get it, they will hand over to somebody. They won't keep to themselves. If you have witnessed that, you will be affected by that. Seeing that heart behind it. Something you feel, pay your respects for that. Is it not? So, dhriti means he is always under control of his mind and senses. And always absorbed in the self-realization, Vedanta Vicharam, thinking about the truth. And he will also perform all the other austerities. For example, he will strictly follow Ekadashi and all other fasting and everything, you know, on a daily basis, what they have to do, they'll do that. So that person, when who has got all these things, is accepted as a Brahmana. He's accepted as a Brahmana. And there are many, in this way, many symptoms are spoken in the Shastram about them. That shamam, damam, tapashaujam, shandi, arjavam, all this is there in the Bhagavad Gita. You can see at the end in the 18th chapter. Shamodama, tapashaujam, shandi, arjavam, evaja. Jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam, brahmakarma, subhavajam. Krishna's definition. More or less they are the same qualities. In the Sanat Sujadiyam, Bhagavad Gita, and in the other Shastram also you will see more or less the same thing. Yeah. So here he is saying Viprad Dvirshaniguna Ida Aravindana Bapada Aravinda Vimukhachavajam Varishtam. So all these are good qualities, what we have spoken. Dushalguna Ida Aravindanaba. He has got 2 times 6, that's 12 qualities for Vipra. He is a Vipra. But Prahlada is saying, you may have all these things, but if there is no Aravindanabhapada Aravinda Vimukham, he has no attraction to Krishna. He has no attraction to Krishna. He is saying he is not surrendered to Krishna. Sharanagati is not there to Krishna. In that case, he says, he will not realize the ultimate truth. He will not realize the ultimate truth if he has no bhakti in the heart. So, from this what we have to remember is, in this world, not only the bad people suffer, good people also suffer in this world. Sometimes we say like that, isn't it? Oh, he has been very nice devotee. Why is he having all this problem? Only karmi should suffer. Or the demon. No. Karmis will suffer, devotees will also suffer here. That is the law of the world. That you can't change. It's not that. Because a lot of devotees get this doubt in their head. Why devotees suffer? that doesn't work. It's like that. Devotees will also suffer. In the world, the law of the world is like that. For example, when a train gets into accident, it doesn't pick only the good people will be saved, bad people will die. No. When the train accident, everybody will die. Whoever is in that bogie, which has fallen, or the compartment, which has derailed or tracked, out of track, whatever it is. When the accident happens, everybody will suffer. Everybody will suffer. So, similarly, people who are doing good things and people who are doing bad things, both will suffer. Both will suffer. Because world is on the relative plane. World is on a relative plane. So, and that you can't change. It's not that in this world, all the people who are doing good things, they are in one corner kept, and all the bad people are kept in the another corner. You can see when bad things happens, for example, this bomb blast and all that, good people also dying sometimes there. Bad people also are dying there. isn't it? So, because both of them are in the same place, in the same hall. So, therefore, that is, Prahlad is saying there, that you may have everything, all these qualifications, what has been spoken, if you do not have Krishna consciousness. When Prahlad was saying bhakti, you have to remember in the proper way, not the bhakti what we are talking about, because we have misunderstood this term, terminology, bhakti, in a completely different way. When Prahlad is saying bhakti, I mentioned yesterday also, in Prahlada sadhana, there is no japam, there is no deity worship, there is nothing. What Prahlad is talking about is that full sharanagati to the antaryami inside. That is what he is saying here. That is knowledge or Bhagavad Prapti or Bhagavad Anubhavam, experience of Krishna's presence inside. If it is not there, then that means this antaryami principle, antaryami realization, if it is not there, you will not get your final release from the material life. You will not get your final. All the other qualities, vipra dvishal gunayudad, says there, isn't it? Dvishal gunayudad means that 12 qualities, what we spoke just now, that may be there. Aravindanava padaravinda vimukham shubhajam varishtam. Aravindanava padaravindam. What it means is that if he does not have that antaryami realization inside, that he has no understanding of that presence of antaryami inside, and the same vision of this antaryami in other living entity, that is the bhakti here he is talking about. Knowledge of oneself as Krishna's presence inside as antaryami, and recognition of that same antaryami is present in everybody else, all other living entities in this world, that realization is called bhakti here. Because in Prahlada's bhakti you can see other things are not listed. Japam, tapam, sadhana and dhyanam, they are all sadhana, it is. They are all the sadhana, it is. Just like you perform your other sadhanas, various sadhanas in this world, harinam, or you go on a parikramam, or like that, another sadhana that is. But above all that, proper, when it comes to bhakti, in Prahlada's way of saying, that you will get better understanding when we go further in this Prahlada Stuti. What he is saying is that all these qualities are good for a Brahmana, it's necessary. But still, if that Brahmana doesn't have this understanding of the Antaryami principle inside, Antaryami principle is this, to know that Krishna is within the heart, in a person, in himself, and that he is very much in touch with that antaryami, and he also realizes that it is the same antaryami who is present in everybody. That means it brings bhakti in the heart. It brings bhakti in the heart. That means bhakti towards everybody. Recognizing antaryami in everyone and having bhakti towards everybody. Because you are not respecting the name and form. You are respecting Krishna's presence in that body. That is antaryami principle. You are recognizing Krishna's presence in another body. Not seeing that body anymore in the Namarupam. Otherwise you will see in the male and female form. You will see in the through the Maya. Through Maya. Because yesterday you remember, he mentioned that. Remember that verse? In the last, that is how he said. If you look into the 6th chapter, 7th canto, 6th chapter, 23 verse. Maya Andarhida Ishwaryam, he said. What does that mean? That means this. To see people simply on the platform of the body. Maya Andarhida Ishwaryam Iyade Gunasargaya. He's saying Kevalanu Bhavananda Swarupa Parameshwara. Krishna Swarupam is Anubhavam Anandam. Kevalanu Bhavam Anandam. Maya Andarhida Ishwaryam Iyade Gunasargaya. But instead what will happen is Maya Andarhida Ishwaryam means to see everyone through male, female body and name and form in that way. So, so what will happen, what Prahlada is saying here is, a Brahmana, Vipra, he may have all these 12 qualities, what we spoke, Brahmana's qualities I mentioned, it is in the Bhagavad Gita, it is in the Sanal Sajadiyam also, Sanal Kumar Maharshi is saying there,
All of them are highly noble qualities, is it not, to have in a person. And naturally those qualities invoke good thoughts in us. When you see a person with those qualities, it automatically elevates you. It elevates you because seeing that person's great heart inside, freedom from envy, not for competition with anybody, always simple and always thoughtful, and compassion to all other living entities. Great, great qualities, is it not? And they have to be admired. There is no question about that. But what Prahlad is saying here is that along with all that, he also must have the realization of the Antaryami inside, and bhakti should be there in the heart. Which means that this recognition of Antaryami inside and recognition of presence of Antaryami in everybody else, that bhakti. If does not happen, if that is not there, he is saying here that Brahmana will not reach that immortality. Immortality, amrutattva. Krishna mentioned there, isn't it, that brahmanasihi dehoyam kshudragamaya neshyade. Then what will happen in pretya ananda sukhayaja? He says he will reach that destination where his happiness will be boundless because of the blissful realization of the self. He will go to that stage. So here, what will happen is, if you have all these qualities, he says, Krishna is saying there, Prahlada is saying there, you may have all these qualities and others may admire you. They will consider you as a very good person when you have these qualities. But you will not, you on your own, will not reach that state of fearlessness. State of fearlessness. It will not come. It will not come. You can see this. Other qualities, they are all never rejected. They are all admired, all those qualities, right? As I mentioned there, that vipra dishal guna idana ravindanabha. Dishal gunam. 2 times 6, 12 gunams spoken. But if there is no bhakti andaryami and recognition andaryami in others, that state of immortality won't come. Fearlessness, in other words. Immortality brings fearlessness. You become fearless, isn't it? You completely become fearless. That won't happen. And that means if fearlessness won't come, shanti won't come. Shanti won't come. So, these are spoken, all these things are spoken with the idea that people who have that perfect understanding, and it does not mean that, oh, he has got all these qualities, but he does not have the bhakti inside, so therefore he is useless. Not in that way. Do not misunderstand that way. All these qualities are recognized in the Shastram. And if you, what will happen is, if you don't have bhakti in the heart, that does not mean that he is a bad person. That also you must, you should understand that verse in that way. Suppose he has got all the qualities, what we have spoken so far, and he doesn't have bhakti. That does not mean he is a bad person. It does not mean he is a bad person. But the problem is, Prahlada is saying, that he will not reach that state of immortality or fearlessness. That is the problem. That person, he is a good person, he is not a bad person, but he won't reach that state of immortality. That's what we need, isn't it? That no identification with the body, completely to realize yourself that you are eternal. That eternity, you won't get to that state. Eternity brings immortality, in other words. And eternity, that brings a shanti inside and fearlessness inside. Remember, when Kavi Maharshi started, how did he start the conversation? Manye kutaschil bhayam achyudasya padambujobasana matra nityam. That's the verse. Manye kutaschil bhayam. That bhayam won't go. Fearlessness won't come to him. So, that is what he's saying here. All these symptoms, qualifications spoken there, he is there. But if he has no knowledge of the self, aravinda nava pada aravinda vimukham. What that means? Aravinda nava pada aravinda vimukham means one who does not have knowledge of the self. Alpajnanam. One who does not have knowledge of the self, that person. That's what he's talking about. So, if he does not have the knowledge of the self, or if he does not have the experience of Krishna, in two different ways it's spoken.
Bhagavad Anubhavam or Atma Anubhavam.
Atma Anubhavam means experience of the self. Bhagavad Anubhavam means experience of Krishna. If it's not, if these two are not there, or acquired the knowledge of the self, distress will come in life. Distress will come in life. This you can see in the Pandava's case. What happened? Look at Pandava's life in this world. Yudhishthira suffered a lot, did they not? Eldest son had all the responsibility with him. And why Krishna spoke Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna only, not to anybody else? He could have, being the eldest, you would have thought Krishna would have spoken to him, isn't it? He's the eldest in the family among the five brothers. And naturally you would think generally it would have gone to Yudhishthira. But he didn't speak to Yudhishthira. Why? Why did he do that? Chandrasekhara Saraswati answers that in the Paramacharya says there that who had the highest faith in Krishna compared to everybody else, it was Arjuna. Arjuna accepted Krishna as he is, and therefore it went to Arjuna. It didn't go to others. Others had problems. For example, he says there that Yudhishthira's problem was dharma. Dharmaputra he was, isn't it? So he put all his faith in dharma, religious principles. He won't move an inch away from the religious philosophy, religious principles. So Krishna thought, okay, he had so much faith in his dharma, but that bhakti what Arjuna had was not there. In his bhakti was towards dharma. He took sharanagati or surrender to dharma. In dharma he put all his faith. And Bhima's problem was his bodily strength. Too much faith in that strength of the body. Bhima won't give up easily. He had so strong he was that he had so much faith in that body in him. Nakula and Sahadeva has bought. Their problem was in their knowledge. They were knowledgeable people. They had that faith in that. And Yudhishthira had in the dharma. Yudhishthira's problem was dharma. Bhima's problem was the physical strength. And Nakula and Sahadeva, their problems were in their knowledge, isn't it? Only Arjuna had faith in Krishna. Arjuna strongly believed that Krishna will take me through this situation. To that extent, then surrender inside also. Therefore, that is the reason that you remember then when Arjuna and Duryodhana came to see Krishna, Arjuna said that I prefer that you are with me as my charioteer. Army and all, I can leave it. It doesn't matter. I don't need your army or anything. If you are with me, I am safe. And that changed the whole decision-making process. Isn't it? So therefore, Krishna saying here that he is the only one who will listen to me. All others, they are all seeing Krishna in a different way. Arjuna not like that. Everybody else, Yudhishthira is keeping his dharma and is evaluating Krishna with that. So you can see when you go to Krishna, if you have preconceptions in your mind, then it will not work. Bhakti won't develop. If you already have a preconception in your mind, Nagula and Sahadeva had so much faith in their knowledge. They were very knowledgeable people, Shastram and other things. So they won't listen. They will go back and start looking at their own knowledge, what they have acquired. And similarly, Bhima had faith in his body. So everybody else, all the other four brothers, Krishna says it's not worthwhile instructing them. Whereas Arjuna had such an open heart, that Arjavam, straightforwardness in him, that he was willing to listen and surrender to Krishna and told him, tell me what I should do. And that pleased Krishna. So naturally the Bhagavad Gita came from that. So there it says, or Krishna says that this person will listen to me. Who? Arjuna. He will listen to me. So it's worthwhile saying anything. And if you tell Yudhishthira, he will bring all the dharma shastram into it. Ajaram, anushtanam,
everything, how one should do, what one should do and all other things. From the Dharma Shastram he will bring his quotations. Bhima's faith is in the food. All the trust is in the food, like most of us, isn't it? All the time analyzing the food and seeing that the food is going to solve all the problems. It doesn't. And didn't have the faith in Krishna. So Abhimanyu asked this question to Krishna, that you could have saved my grandfather, couldn't you? He said to Krishna, while they were playing the dice. So, and why did you not save him? You could have helped him. Abhimanyu asked this Krishna. Yudhishthira, you could have made him to win, isn't it? He said, but you put him into a lot of problems. He lost the game, and finally Duryodhana took control of everything. So Krishna says to Abhimanyu, what he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarvabhudeshu, Name Deshwistina Priya. Remember that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? If you look into it. Samoham Sarvabhudeshu. Krishna saying, I have no preference to anybody. That is what he is saying here. Samoham Sarvabhudeshu. Yeah. 9-2. Samoham sarva 29. Sorry. 9:29. Samoham sarvabhudeshu. Name deshvistina priya. Ye bhajanditu mam bhaktya. Maide teshu chapyaham. That holds good. That verse holds good there. So Krishna is saying that. Samoham sarvabhudeshu. So Krishna says to Abhimanyu, I am equal to everybody, but one who is taking my shelter, to them, I am obligated. I have obligations to look after them. I have obligations to look after them. That I am equal to everybody. You say, Krishna says, I am equal to everybody. But if somebody is taking my shelter, then I have an obligation towards them. Obligation. Dharmaputra, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not take my shelter. Did not take my shelter. They took shelter of their own ability or cleverness, you can say, or their capacity to do things. He took his shelter because that was Yudhishthira's mood. And so, or their cleverness, they took shelter of that. What is Krishna saying there? Even dharmam is not worthwhile taking shelter. Dharmam also is not worthwhile taking shelter. What to talk about dravyam? Dravyam is never worthwhile taking shelter. But dharmam is for anushtanam. Anushtana yogyam it's called. Anushtana yogyam. But not for ashrayam. Ashrayam only Krishna is shelter. Nothing else. Only Krishna is shelter. Nothing else one should take shelter. Ashrayam, Krishna means knowledge. Eh? That also you have to, not to, never to overlook that. Taking Krishna's shelter means taking Krishna's instructions as shelter. That is taking Krishna's shelter. Taking Krishna's instructions as shelter. Like Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's instructions, that is. So the way Krishna has spoken of taking shelter in the way it's spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, Ekadasha Skandam, taking shelter in that way. That's what he is referring to. Not otherwise what will happen, we'll say, oh, I'm always taking Krishna's shelter. And opposite results are coming. And then you are thinking, what is this? I have taken Krishna's shelter so much. I have told you so many times I am taking your shelter. But why you are not doing anything? You will say, start problem with Krishna then. That Krishna doesn't want that. What Krishna is saying to us is, the way Krishna has told this world how to take his shelter is through his instructions. Particularly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasham. So those two things. So we have to take shelter of that. That is jnanam. That is knowledge also. And dharmam is for anushtanam. Anushtanam means in our daily life we have to follow that. Anushtanaparam dharmam ashrayaparam brahmam. Brahmam is for shelter, dharmam is for anushtanam. Anushtanam means to follow.
What did Dharmaputra do? Yudhishthira Maharaj, what he did was, he took shelter of Dharmam and he didn't take shelter of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna himself says this. In Mahabharatam, this comes. So, when he was playing the dice with Duryodhana, Duryodhana said, I don't know how to play, but I have a very good uncle. I have a very good uncle. He will help. He will do play on my behalf, he said. And the uncle was waiting there to step in. Uncle was waiting. Uncle got inside. And similarly, Krishna is saying to Abhimanyu, Duryodhana, Yudhishthira could have said, I have my uncle here sitting. Krishna, he would have played this. He could have said something like that. I do not know how to play. But Duryodhana had intelligence. He said like this, I don't know how to play, but my uncle will play on my behalf. And similarly, he could have said, Krishna will play for me. I can't play, I don't know. He didn't do that. And that Krishna has noticed. Krishna took notice of that. See, he says, if he has asked me to play, with one move I would have finished the whole game. Krishna says like that. But I didn't do that. I didn't do that because Yudhishthira says, no, I will play. He kept on saying like this. Who told him to play? Therefore he lost it, he said. That's why he lost it. So, had he called me, and I was sitting there ready to play, Krishna says, thinking that I will be called. But if he had called me, I would have come and played there. Similarly, we also have to learn this. This is what Krishna is expecting from us. We have to learn to hand over our life to Krishna and to live in this world. And that is a very kaushalam. Kaushalam means it requires expertise. That how to hand over, we have to learn this art. How to hand over the life to Krishna and to live in this world. This art we have to learn. That's called the kaushalam. Kaushalam. And that person who has understood this art, he is called a devotee. He is called devotee. We are saying the same thing in different ways. Sharanagati is that. Nothing different than that. When we talk about Sharanagati, like Yudhishthira made the mistake, Nakula Sahadeva made the mistake, Bhima made the mistake, Arjuna didn't make the mistake. So that person who is capable, who knows this, how to hand over the life to Krishna, our life in this world to Krishna, and able to live in this world, that capacity, that's what he is saying here. So long as we have this concept that I am doing it, and my cleverness and that pride inside, he may be a good person, but he is thinking, I am doing it and I know what to do, and I know how to deal with the situation, that smartness and all that. He may be a good person and he may be following all the dharmam, anushtanam, everything properly, but he will never be able to come out of maya. That person will never be able to free himself from the grip of maya. That is the problem. So long as we are doing karmam in this world, and there will be doership, will be there. Doership will be there. To that extent, you are likely to become a possibility of yoga brashtam. Yoga brashtam means you will get thrown out of the balance of yoga, from yoga state. That's called yoga brashtam. You will be thrown out of balance from the yoga state. You will never be able to stay in the yoga state. Because when we are doing karmam here, the ownership, doership will come. There is nothing you can do about it. That, therefore, there is a strong possibility of such a person becoming, losing that state of yoga from inside. That means he will go up and then he will fall. He'll go up and he will fall. That is the problem. If you need to stay in spiritual life, this principle is very important. If you want to stay in spiritual life. Otherwise, based on your ego, you can come and do so many things in spiritual field and eventually you will fall. Eventually you will fall. Many times you will observe this with many people, this thing happening. They, you know this... Markata Nyayam and Marjara Nyayam is a well-known example. Ramanujacharya's tradition, they talk about this very much. That it's also there in the Upanishads in another way, that monkey's case, the baby monkey, has to hold on to the mother. Mother won't take care, but baby has to hold on to the mother. If you leave it, you will drop. Mother, you can't blame the mother. And similarly, in the case of the cat, the baby, the kittens, she will leave the kittens after the delivery, and the babies will lie there and start crying. Meow, meow, meow. Isn't it? It seems the kittens cry in Hindi. Meow, meow. So, they'll keep crying, the babies, isn't it? So, how long she will cry? Till the mother comes and with the teeth she takes the baby and takes her control of that, isn't it? So wherever the mother keeps the baby, the kitten will stay there and cry there. Similarly, this chanting the holy name is also a crying. It is a crying. What does chanting the holy name means? Smarana, remembering Krishna, isn't it? And it is only a supporting pole for surrender. You are surrendering to Krishna and you are calling him. Surrendering to Krishna and calling him. So what is called is avalambam. Avalambam means for your, just like while walking you hold a stick to support. Similarly, this holy name is a support for you in your surrender process. That's the way to understand the holy name. Holy name is a support for us to surrender. Because while crying with the holy name, asking for Krishna to give you that shelter inside, isn't it? So, therefore, that is the reason when you chant the holy name also, I have chanted so many millions of holy names, now where is the result? That's not the approach. That's a hangaram, it is. Inside, look, you are saying that if I chant, say, 192 rounds for 6 months or 6 years, I should have some results from that. If you do that, no results will come from that. Results will come when you are surrendered to Krishna and this holy name, chanting of the holy name is nothing but a stick to hold on to. You are crying out, calling for help, isn't it? So, every time when we chant the holy name, you have to become more and more taking the shelter of remembrance of Krishna. That means ashraya yogyam. Ashraya yogyam means worthwhile to take shelter, and that remembrance will get stronger inside while chanting. It will get stronger inside and it will become a very powerful force inside. What is that? Taking Krishna shelter. It will become a very powerful force inside. Then what will happen is, whatever job we do in this world, whatever work we do, this chanting the holy name, namam, as the japam, that will continuously happen without your own knowledge. It will start happening inside. So, what does holy name tells us? Holy name is also telling us that Krishna is the only truth. Krishna is the only truth. And everything else is not true. That is the teaching there also. Krishna is the doer, I am not the doer. Krishna is the enjoyer, I am not the enjoyer. That is surrender, isn't it? So, that is where that verse in the Bhagavadam, in the 11th canto, becomes properly realized. Which one? Kayena vacha, manasendrayarva. Everybody knows that verse. Buddhyatmanava. Prakrite Sabhaval Karamami Yadyat Sagalam Parasmai Narayanayedi Samarpayatad. Isn't it? So, if you just remember that verse and then chant the holy name, it will have some effect. Because that verse is talking about surrender more, not about what we do. Whereas our faith in what we do not in surrender. That's the problem. Faith is in what we do. And that is why we feel that I have done so much austerities and penances, and therefore I should have the results. So, chanting the holy name continuously, and at the same time, this vasana inside to do something, because the vasana is inside, you have to do something. You have to do something. But if you can live in this world without doing anything, that's the best. If you can. But normally, you don't see that happening. When you have a vasana inside, a strong vasana inside, immediately your attention will go into karma in some form. So although you may say, oh, I'm not into any vyavaharam, I won't do anything. Somewhere else you will go in some other direction, looking for some vyavaharam or karmam or social life or whatever it may be. It will happen like that. But because there is vasana inside, therefore Shastram is saying, do it then. What you have to do, do it. But do it in such a way that it will help in Krishna consciousness to develop spiritually. If you can stay without doing anything, fine. If you can do that, there's no harm. But provided you can do that. But after giving up everything in Krishna consciousness, going after something else is no the answer. So, if you cannot do that, chant the holy name. And this is also there. Even while chanting the holy name, if you are able to think and dhyanam, mananam, and shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Like for example, there are people who do not chant a lot. They don't chant a lot. But because they got attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam a lot, and Bhagavatam has started working inside. And therefore what they do? They don't chant. They sit in one place and completely meditate, contemplate and reflect on the Bhagavata philosophy very strongly inside. Very strongly inside. Hours and hours they can sit and do that. Prabhupada mentions this. I sent an email to many people yesterday. You can read it, what Prabhupada said about it. He said in Vrindavanam, he said, at Prabhupada's time, this is, I don't know now how far it has changed, but in Prabhupada's time, he said, there are many people in Vrindavanam who just read Srimad Bhagavatam, nothing else. Never endlessly reading Bhagavatam. And when they are not reading Bhagavatam, they keep the book and they think about it. Shravanam, mananam. Continuously performing mananam of the Bhagavatam. So, that is what it is. Yeah. So, there is no end to that. There is no purpose behind it. That means Krishna is saying, adhikari bhedam is not there. In doing all these things, anybody can do that. It doesn't have to be particularly any qualifications for that. So, if you look at that this way, you will see that those who are doing this way of practicing spiritual life, they always thinking that, what is my good fortune that I am able to do this in this way, that they feel that it is Krishna's kripa or grace that is allowing that to happen. And that kripa that comes from Krishna is also a powerful force that operates there. And when this happens, that you get absorbed, that means they are not compelled by the mind to engage in karma. They are able to withdraw from the world to that extent. And in total solitude, they are able to remain and read Bhagavatam. And feel totally in peace with that. That is Krishna's grace for them. Because karma vasana has gone from inside. You can observe them in that way. And for them, the shelter they hold on to is Bhagavatam. Is Bhagavatam. And others, the shelter they hold on to is the holy name. Krishna's holy name. Isn't it? So, and that person who has taken shelter in that way, and taken shelter of the holy name or Srimad Bhagavatam, because they are surrendered to Krishna, that is their highest success. They will escape. They will escape from here. And because when other person, the others, no matter how good the other person is, he has got all the good qualifications and other things what we have spoken so far, but if he, no matter how good he is, because he is trusting his own capacity, he has so much faith in his own ability, and he has not taken shelter of Krishna, it is difficult to say whether he will reach the destination. That is the problem. That is the problem. That is what Prahlada is saying. What we were talking in other places. What Krishna said, isn't it? Mayodi desha vahidam sodharmeshu madashraya. Remember? Madashraya. Mayasaktam anapata yogam yunjan madashraya. Ashrayam is more important than all your sadhana, all your karma, all your other effort. Your effort is not the success behind it. The success is not due to the effort. Success is due to the ashrayam. That is the principle Prahlad is also saying here. What Krishna is saying in other places. Krishna says madashrayam, madashrayam, madashrayam everywhere. Is it not? In Bhagavatam, in several places he says that. Madhashraya. In Bhagavad Gita also, a few places he mentions that. Yes. So, you can see that ashrayam, taking shelter of Krishna and engaging in sadhana, that is those two lines. Which one? In the 10th verse. Manye tadarpidamano janehi dartham pranam punadi sakulam nadubhurimana. Those two lines. Manye tadarpidamano janehi dartham pranam punadi sakulam nadubhurimana. Arpidamanam. Arpidamanam means that surrender, isn't it? So what he's saying that even if he is a that you will see in that Vipradishal Gunayudadara Vindanabha Padara Vinda Vimukham Shobajam Varishtam. A person may be Shobajan. Shobajan means dog eater. So now the question will come, because these verses are like that you may say about Brahmana, you spoke a lot of higher qualities in the Brahmana, isn't it? Their samskaram and their lakshanam or symptoms in them. After saying all that, Prahlada is saying that he is compared with this dog eater, Chandala, Shobhaja. Shobhaja means dog eater. So in the first line, he's talking about the Brahmana. And in the second line, that is in the 10th verse, Vipradyushal Gunayudad Aravindanabha, that is a Brahmana. Shadgunayudad Aravindanabha Padaravinda Vimukham Shobajam Varishtam. He's saying, after saying all that, a dog eater is better than him, than this Brahmana. He's better than him. Prahlada is saying there. He's saying that, if you ask the question, can you compare a dog eater with a Brahmana like that? He's saying, alright, then we have to understand this also. In the worldly life, in matters of religious principles, dharmam and all other things, Brahmana is on the top of the Everest mountain. He's on the top because of his position. And the person who eats is a dog eater, he is in the lowest planet, as far as position is concerned. In the matters relating to religious principles and the matters related to this world, dharma vishayam and loka vishayam, in all these things, a Brahmana is on the very high because of that qualifications he has got, what we spoke about before. And a dog eater is on the lowest level. He's on the lowest level. But when it comes to spiritual realization of the truth, self-realization, adhyatmam, in that state, or reaching the destination is concerned, the first person who loses his identity with the body and with the mind and with the ego, that person will get to the destination first. I don't know whether you got the point. That this Brahmana also, he has got noble qualities. There is no doubt about that. And normally a dog eater has got no such quality. But in matter relating to self-realization or reaching the destination is concerned, the person who first leaves this identification with the body, mind and ego, he will reach the destination first. Because in Swarupam, Brahmana and Chandala, there is no difference. Isn't it? A Brahmana is a Brahmana because in the subtle body he is higher than the Chandala. But once you have left the body, subtle body and the gross body, Chandala, if he has no identification with the gross body and the subtle body, and if the Brahmana has identification with the gross body and subtle body, then Chandala is superior to the Brahmana. He will reach the destination before the Brahmana gets there. Brahmana gets there. That is why that comparison is a pretty heavy comparison, that is. Because normally people will find it very hard to digest that. But you have to understand why it is spoken in that way. Prahlada said that. Vipradushalgunayudadaravindanabha padaravindavimukham shobajam varishtam. Varishtam, he says, is better than the Brahmana with all his 12 qualifications. So, matters related to this world, matters related to religious principles, Brahmana is higher. The Shobhaja or Chandala is very lower compared to him. But when it comes to self-realization and reaching the destination of self-realization, in that situation, if the dog eater, if he has realized who he is, that I have nothing to do with this body and the mind, and he is established in that way in the self, he will reach the goal first before the Brahmana. That's what he is saying there. Manye, why? Tadarpidamano jane hidartha. Because that dog eater, he is living in this world completely surrendered to Krishna. He knows that Krishna is the truth. I take his shelter. Everybody else in the world is completely rejected him. He is not able to feel any recognition in this world. He is not looking for it. But manyeta arpita mano vachane hidartha. But such a person is on a higher level, you have to see. Because of what? Because of this one thing, surrender. Surrender. The glory of Sharanagati, the glory of surrender to Krishna. That is what Prahlada is stressing again, again, again. What Krishna says to us in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Madashraya, Madashraya, Madashraya. Isn't it? So, from there you can see, Bhakti means this Madashrayatam. Madashraya means Bhakti. So, Krishna, for example, this to understand this statement, because it is a pretty difficult statement to digest easily. Is it not? Because how can it be a Brahmana who is living a life of austerity, simplicity, truthfulness, and several good qualities in him, and what we saw, the 12 qualities we spoke about, and he lives in this world, and does he not deserve a better treatment than a dog eater who has none of these qualities? His habits are so bad, his samskaram is poor, every way it is bad. But Shastram is saying, Prahlada is saying here, if that person, if he gives up his identity with his body, mind, intelligence, and completely accepts that Krishna alone is the shelter, and surrenders to him in that way, because of his surrender and freedom from his identification with the body, he is not caring for his body anymore. It was there, it came and gone that way. Because of that, he will get to the destination first before the Brahmana. Krishna also says this in the Bhagavad Gita in a different way. The same thing. What does he say? That Abhijayat Sudurajaro, that verse. Bhajade imam ananya bhag. Sadhureva samandavya samyang vavasidohisa. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. శాశ్వతాంతిం నిగచ్చరి కౌంతేయ ప్రతిజానిహి నమే భక్త ప్రణశ్యరి. నమే భక్త ప్రణశ్యరి.
దట్ వాట్ ఈ సేయింగ్ ఈస్ హీ మే హ్యావ్ ది లోవెస్ట్ హ్యాబిట్స్, లోవెస్ట్ హ్యాబిట్స్, వెరీ వెరీ లో హ్యాబిట్స్, మీట్ ఈటింగ్, ఇలిసిట్ సెక్స్, ఇంటాక్సికేషన్, గ్యాంబ్లింగ్, ఆల్ అదర్ థింగ్స్. బట్ ఇఫ్ హీ హాస్, సపోజ్ హీ లెఫ్ట్ ఆల్ దాట్ అండ్ హీ హాస్ సరెండర్డ్ టు కృష్ణ, కంప్లీట్లీ సరెండర్డ్ టు కృష్ణ, కృష్ణ ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ క్షిప్రం భవతి ధర్మాత్మ, క్షిప్రం భవతి ధర్మాత్మ, దాట్ ఆల్ ద శాస్త్రం, ధర్మశాస్త్రం ఆల్ సేయింగ్ దేర్, దే డిడ్ంట్ సే దాట్ హీ విల్ స్టిల్ రిమైన్ యాజ్ అ డాగ్ ఈటర్, బట్ they didn't say that, they didn't say that he will remain as a dog eater if he has given up all his bad habits and surrendered to Krishna. What he is saying is kshipram bhavati dharmaatma shashvat shandim nigachari, that shanti will come to him eternally, shanti nigachari, that he will cross over all other boundaries and he'll come to that state of shashvat shanti, eternally peaceful existence. So all religious principles will come to him and it will come through him, because all the religious principles also, dharmam, comes from Antaryami. Antaryami is the one who keeps us in the religious state, in the religious state. And that is what he is saying there, that like what is that dharma, for example satyam, truthfulness and straightforwardness and freedom from envy, freedom from competition, all these good qualities, unless Antaryami gives it to you, you won't get it, you can't practice them. Remember this, I mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita classes when we were discussing about the 26 qualities of the devotee and all, people are thinking, oh, we'll practice it and have it, you won't get it. You can practice it whole lifetime, but ultimately when the time comes, you, it won't be there. Unless Antaryami gives it to you from inside, you won't have it, you won't get it. They are not for, in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying, it's not for practicing it. Why he is saying that is, in the Bhagavad Gita those qualifications are spoken so that when you see those qualification, when these qualities happening in a person, you can understand that the Antaryami is pleased with him. Suppose it happens in you, you can take it, Antaryami is giving it to you. It is only for that purpose. But many people are thinking, we'll have a crash course or a seminar on 26 qualities, and when you come out, he's the same one who has gone in. Nothing has changed. What's the use? Isn't it? You've gone in and you come out with the laptop with all the 26 qualities listed there. And then you're going home and studying it for the exam, next exam. Whatever that may be. That's useless. Krishna is saying there that these qualities, you can't cultivate them if you want to. You can't. But if there is bhakti in the heart, Antaryami will give it to you one after the other. Whatever you need at different times, in different situations. And if it becomes, because ultimately it is not an intellectual thing, these qualities. You have to change inside, in your heart. And when the heart is changing, that means Antaryami is working inside, in your thoughts, because all the thoughts are coming from there. Is it not? That mind which comes from Antaryami is filled with the energy of Antaryami. Antaryami controls the mind also. And that's why they say, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Chudharubena Samstida Nidrarubena Samstida, everything Krodharubena Samstida Kamarubena Samstida, Kamam, Krodham and lust, anger, all these things, who is controlling inside? Prakriti is controlling that. And it's not possible for you or me to develop them on my own. That will not happen. That is why we have to say this, because people are thinking that if I write down all these 26, some people know it so well, all the whole it won't happen. After a while you'll get bored with it, because qualities are there and world is forcing you to do something else, and you will go after that because your vasana is towards that. You'll go in that direction. So, vasanas have to change inside. Vasana kshayam, it's called. When vasanas are changing inside, the qualities will also start following that in that way. So, that is why this adhyatma sadhana is a very different way. It is not like the way in the world how we operate, isn't it? So, so all the dharmam is coming from Andaryami. Kshipram bhavati dharmalma shashvat shanti nigachadi kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyadi. So that is why he is saying manye tadarpita mano vajane hitartham pranam punadi sagulam nadubhurimana. This principle is a big secret in spiritual life. This principle is a big secret in spiritual life. That means it's a very, very, you can say, the greatest insight into it. If this insight comes to us, then you will escape. Eventually you will escape. It is like this, then, to try to make it understand in a scientific way. You know when they send these rockets, or what they call the satellites or Sputniks, when they release it, right? That up to a certain point only, the rockets require energy to come out of the field of Earth, from the outside the Earth's gravitational force, to come out from that. So, once the rocket leaves the power of the gravitational force, after a while, when it comes the moon's power, it will get locked up. The moon will start pulling from the top. And that is when it gets into the moon's orbit and then it starts rotating around the moon and before it lands in the moon. This is the principle in the rocket technology. That the rocket needs the power from here when you're giving the, the propelling force from here, is only up to that point till it gets released from the gravitational force of the Earth. After that, the moon will take control of that. Because once it has gone out of Earth's control, the moon's gravitational force will take control and then that force will take care of everything. Similarly, spiritual sadhana, spiritual life is also like that. Till we leave from the grip of this body, mind, intelligence, senses, ego, till we leave from that, you require this power here. All your sadhana, all your effort, all these things. And for that purpose, sadhana, chanting the holy name, dhyanam, japam, all these things. After that, once you come out and made this surrender, sharanagati to Krishna, then you have to just remain in that sharanagati, Krishna will take care of everything. Like moon takes care of everything, Krishna will take care of everything. So, and at that time, that in that state, there is a gravitational force or a pull that comes from that, from Krishna. That Krishna is Andaryami inside. So self-realization, when it happens, it's not like the way we go in the rocket. You're not going anywhere. You're sitting here. And you're doing your sadhana, japam, dhyanam, everything. And you keep on doing this for a while. You keep doing that. And finally what happens is that your sharanagati has become very strong. Surrender has become very, very strong. At that point, you have left from the grip of the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. You have come out of it slowly, free. And because your sharanagati has become stronger and stronger, and at that point, Andaryami pulls you very strongly inwards. Andaryami takes care of, after that, everything. So, so Andaryami's power becomes stronger at that point. And that is how in spiritual life it happens. That at some point in time, according to the sharanagati or surrender, Andaryami takes control of our spiritual life. And then after that, you don't have to worry anything. By now, you have left from the grip of the body, mind, intelligence and everything. So, the reason why we are not getting pulled by Andaryami at the moment is that the force outside is pulling us in the opposite way. The world is pulling us in the opposite way. So, this power of Andaryami, Chit Shakti, we have not come to know about it. We don't know about it at this moment. So, from Jada Shakti,
Jadashakti means the world power, power of the world, of the mind, of the body. This is all Jadashakti, the Shakti of the power of the Jadam. Jadam means dead thing, which includes the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, and the world. All this is Jadam. This Jadashakti is pulling us more forceful, and we are trapped in that. But instead of falling into the Andaryami's power, Chit Shakti. Andaryami's power is called Chit Shakti. So till you get released from the Jada Shakti and get trapped in the Chit Shakti, then once you have fallen into that Chit Shakti, that Chit Shakti will pull you back, pull you out of this, and it will carry you all the way to the Andaryami on its own. That is what he is saying here. You see, sir, that Punati. See the word Punati? Manye tadarpida mano vajane hidartham pranam punati. Punati means that. Pranam punati sakulam nadu bhurimana. Pranam punati sakulam nadu bhurimana. So, in other words, that it absolutely purifies you. Absolutely purifies you. And it will be complete, pure. That is what Krishna is saying here. Kshipram, that verse is in the Bhagavad Gita. Kshipram bhavati dharmaatma in the Bhagavad Gita. Shashvachandim nigachadi kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Abhijet sudhirajaro vajadi imam ananya bhak. But you have to reach that state, ananya bhak state. That is important thing. Vajadi imam ananya bhak. Ananya bhak is that sharanagari state. Sadhureva samandavya samyang vyavasidohisa kshipram bhavadi dharmalma shashvachandim nigachari kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. So those two verses is and that is what is Prahlada. Prahlada is that. That is why Prahlada is saying here that to Krishna and to Narasimha Murthy, he is saying here that he says to Narasimha Murthy, this Stuti is addressing to Narasimha Murthy. He is saying to Narasimha like this. He says that even if he is a dog eater, Prahlada is saying here, how fast he will reach that state, impossible to say. It will be so fast. This dog eater, his progress will be so fast in spiritual life because of this Sharanagari. Because of the Sharanagari. There is a small book Acharya Swamiji has written called Manisha Panchakam. In there, he goes to bathe in the Ganga River, and a chandala was there who comes with four dogs in front of him. So a chandala comes there with four dogs, he's holding them and come in front of him. So there he'll say like this, that he says to the chandala that in one of the verses he says that chandala says to him, looking at my body you are saying I am a chandala, you are a brahmana and all that, isn't it? Atma is concerned, is there any difference chandala and brahmana? No such difference in the soul. Soul has no such identity. You can't say a soul is brahmana soul or a chandala soul. Is it not? You can say. So he is asking this question to Acharya there. And he says, is that not the same living force, Andaryami, in everybody? It's the same. And how did this difference came to you? This a story like this is spoken there. And this Acharya Swamiji says to him to move away from the path. So at that time the chandala asked this question to him. They say Lord Shiva himself came in the form of chandala and raised this question to him. So at that point, Acharya Swamiji wrote these five verses, Manisha Panchakam. And you can see here, all the five verses, if you look in there, there will be no relationship between one verse to the other. That's the way it is structured. So five verses, if you analyze it, you will see, it talks about the message of the Mahavakyams in the Upanishads. The four Mahavakyam. And then he mentions there that who has this realization of these four Mahavakyams, that then even if he is chandala, or a brahmana, he is my spiritual master. That's how he completes that verses. Manisha Vanchakam, if you, it's only five verses thing, and if you read through, you will see that. That is why that story is correct or not, we don't know, but doesn't matter. But the way the book is written is such that if you have all this knowledge of realization of the four Mahavakyams, which is Prajnanam Brahma, Aham Brahmasmi, Tatvamasi, I am Atman Brahma, and which is in the Upanishads, in four different Upanishads comes as the very core messages there, that, and he, Acharya explains those four Mahavakyams in four verses, and then talks about the symptoms of the self-realization, and then he says that whoever has this realization in him, even if he is a chandala or a brahmana, doesn't matter, he is my spiritual master. That's how he puts it there. So, there you will observe that in the it's only five verses. So, the first four verses, Jagral Svapna Sushuptishu Sputadaram Yasam Vidrujjambade Vidrujjambade Ya Brahmadi Pipiliganda Tanishu Prota Jagal Sakshani Saivaham Naja Drishyavastudi Drida Prajnabi Yasyasti Chel Chandalostu Satu Dijostu Guru Ityesha Manisha Mama. That is the first verse. So the point is that then this is my firm opinion, he's saying there. What is he saying? He's saying these three states, which one? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In these three states, who is present inside us but who doesn't get involved in anything? Remember Krishna's statement in the Bhagavadam that Jagrat, Swapna, Sushuptinja Nivrutto Gunavartaya Sakshal Tasam Vilakshano Jiva Sakshityane Vinishchida. So these states are coming and going. They are coming and going. But he is conscious who he is. Awareness. Isn't it? And from Lord Brahma onwards, right up to the smallest living being, who is present in all of that? That one Alma, Andaryami inside. And one who has woken up to that reality, I am that. And whether he is a chandala or a brahmana, he is my spiritual master. That's what Acharya says in that verse. Jagrel Swapna Sushuptishu Sputadaram Yasam Vidurjumbhade Ya Brahmadi Pipilikandatanushu Prota Jagal Sakshini Saivaham Najadrishya Vastidi Drida Prajnabhiyasya Asti Chet Chandalostu Sadedvijostu Guriritesha Manisha Mama. So, in this way, here, that realization, that what he is saying is that once somebody has realized the truth, what we have to look at that person, has he got the realization? Atmajnanam, knowledge of the self, if it is there. Not to go to him and verify which caste he belongs to. What is, where is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, caste and other things, you should not look at him anymore. Because if he has realized the truth, no matter who it is. So, because sometimes the caste problem does happen. It comes into the society too strongly. Jokingly, we talk about all these things sometimes, that Sometimes this identification with the body makes it things happen like that, because caste system does have these difficulties also, that a brahmana who had very rigorous in his ajaram, nishtha and everything, very rigorous, said he fell sick and he has to go to a doctor. So there was two hospitals, and so they said that in one hospital there is a very good doctor. His name is Dr. Abdul Qadir. That's his name, Abdul Qadir. And he is a very good doctor. And in the second hospital, there was another doctor who was a brahmana, some say Sheshadri or Patabhiraman or some names like that. He was saying like that. So he was thinking, where should I go? Which hospital should I go? He said, whether I should go to Abdul Qadir or whether I should go to the other is belongs to the brahmana caste. So at that time, Abdul Qadir or anybody, doesn't matter whether it's Muslim or Christian or Hindu or brahmana, if he is capable of getting rid of my disease, then he is safe to go to, isn't it? Similarly, because at that point in time, why I'm saying this story is, at that point in time, that your body is troubling and existence is important, or the bodily freedom from that problem of the body. At that time, you shouldn't look at him whether he's a brahmana or a kshatriya or a vaishya or a shudra. Those analysis is not required. You should either look into the situation and judge what is to be done. Whether it's Abdul Qadir or whether it is Sheshadri, it doesn't matter. You just want the illness to be cured. That's what you should look at. Similarly, one who has realized the self, when you come to know about him, you shouldn't go back and dig all his past and find out, say that, oh, he comes from such and such a background, she comes from such and such a background. No, they have realized the truth. So they stand above everything else. Other things you have to learn to write off. It doesn't matter who it is. That is the principle. That is the principle. So, at that time, what does it matter where he is born? Where he is born? Wherever he is born, whichever situation he is born. Although his other persons have got all the acharam, anushtanam, all very rigorously followed, but and studied well, but if it, there isn't realization, if it is not there, what is the use? In realization, if it's not there, what is the use? That is what Prahlada is pointing out there. Many, many realized personalities were like that. That they wouldn't care. They have the highest regard. If somebody is realized, they will honor them by all means, isn't it? So that is what you're saying, that a person has studied very well, but if he does not have realization in him, that what is the profit, what's the benefit for us? So that is why that in Yoga Vasishtham also, even if one does, even in Yoga Vasishtham, this topic comes very seriously, that Vasishtha says to Ramachandra the same thing. He says to him that even if he is a chandala, but if he is a jnani, a realized soul, and he is living in a street of chandalas, shobajas or dog eaters, he is living there, if he is realized, you should go with your begging bowl and stand in front of his house asking for bhiksha from him. He says, and varam sharavadasya chandalagara vidishu bhikshartham adanam rama naur maukhya ta jivitam. This verse you will see in the Yoga Vasishtham. Vasishtha Maharshi says to Lord Ramachandra this verse. He is saying, varam sharavadasya chandalagara vidishu bhikshartham adanam rama. Rama, you should go and beg food from that person who has already realized, even if he is a chandala, who is living in a street of dog eaters, and going to him begging for food is better, rather than no murkha. Murkha means one who is murkha subhav, Mokha means who is identifying with the body, basically. One should not go to him. Says then that you should not remain as a murkha. Murkha nature, that is, to think like that. That varnashrama dharmam, the four divisions and ashrams, that is for this world. That is for this world. And it is useful for this world. Varnashrama dharmam is useful for this world. But when it comes to spiritual knowledge and self-realization, it is not any more important. It's not any more important. Because realized soul can come from any background, from anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, any background, they can come. In any race and in any traditions, this can happen. Krishna is saying they can be even in the among the birds and the animals, it can happen. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, even among the birds and animals, they can get realized as self. Like he talks about Jadayu, Sambhadi. And you remember that a list of people mentioned in the Ekadashi Skandam, isn't it? So, Ramayanam, while Jadayu was fighting to save Sita Devi from Ravana, isn't it? So what did Ravana do? Ravana cut both his wings and he fell. Jadayu fell there. So at that time, Ramachandra and Lakshmana comes later and see Jadayu lying there. And Ramachandra performed all the ceremonies necessary after death. For a bird, the Supreme Lord is doing this. For a bird, the necessary rituals for the bird after death. And saying to Lakshmana, at that time Ramachandra is saying to Lakshmana, don't think that great personalities appear only in the human race, he says. They appear among the animals and the birds as well. And he recited these words. It is there in the air. Ramayanam, he says, Sarvatra khalu drishyande sadhavo dharmacharina shuraha saumyaha saumitre tiryagyoni yatheshvabhi. That sarvatra khalu drishyande sadhava dharmacharina. That you see people who are following the path of religious principles and religious people everywhere, in different places. Shuraha, saumyaha saumitre, tiryak yoni yatheshwabhi. Lakshmana, you can see even among the tiryak yoni, birds and all that, birds and animals, even there you can see those realized souls among them, he says. So, among the animals and the birds also, there are mahalmas, Ramachandra says. And with tears from eyes come from Ramachandra's eyes, tears coming from Ramachandra's eyes, Ramachandra says, what is the use of getting a human body? That he has to have a spiritual life in him. Otherwise, what is the use of a human body? Ramachandra says to Lakshmana at that point. So, and once he has come to this, like Jadayu did, how he served Ramachandra at that time, Jadayu tried very hard fighting with Ravana. And both the wings were cut and Jadayu could not fly anymore. He dropped down on the ground, isn't it? And so Jadayu and Sambhadi, another personality in the Bhagavatam, in the Ramayana, you can see there. So, if a person has realization, self-realization, knowledge of the self and realization, it does not matter who it is, wherever it is, whoever it is, take his shelter. That is Ramachandra's advice here. Prahlada is also saying exactly the same thing. Ugraja tehe, in the first words, Hari, Ugraja tehe, that Prahlada does not belong to the Varnashrama Dharma. You know, Prahlada does not belong to four Varna. He is neither Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. He is not even Chandala, not even a dog eater. Even lower than that, Asura Jadi. Is Asura he is. Asura Jadi he is. That is his Jadi, Asura Jadi. Asura means demon. Demon. He is saying here, that Prahlada is saying here, that whoever his mind senses all these things, it should be, his knowledge should not be based on the mind and the senses. What he is saying, the knowledge should not be in the platform of the mind, the knowledge should not be in the platform of intelligence, and the knowledge should not be of the chitavrti, not from the chitavrti, but it should not be the knowledge that comes by practicing Ashtanga Yogam, that means Prana Mandalam. We have knowledge in different levels, isn't it? In all of us. We have knowledge in the field of mind. We have knowledge in the field of intelligence. We have knowledge in the field of Pranam, living life force. Prana Mandalam, Buddhi Mandalam, Mano Mandalam. And similarly, knowledge in the field of words based on the thought waves that's coming from here, Chitavrti. So, this person who is above all these things, not the knowledges based on these different fields, but above all these things, who has known himself, Antaryami inside, as Krishna is present as, Atma Swarupam, his own Swarupam as Krishna. That Krishna is manifested inside as Antaryami. One who has known this, his knowledge, one who has got that knowledge, it is to him that you have to surrender. That you have to honor him, honor that person. That is the message in that verse. Manye tadarpidamano vachane hitartham pranam punati sakulam nadubhuri manaha. That he is saying there, tadarpidamano vachane hitartha pranam punati sakulam nadubhuri mana. He purifies everything. Purifies everything. For example, sometimes people have a lot of ability to speak. That's called a Saraswati Vilasam. Saraswati Vilasam means Saraswati Devi has blessed him. You remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam also beginning, there is what is known as the Shukubrahmarshi praying to for Saraswati Devi to come and dance in the tip of the tongue so that you get the right word, right bhavam inside while talking Srimad Bhagavatam. So that Shuka Saraswatam it is called in the Bhagavatam, in the second kind of Shuka Saraswatam. Shuka Brahmarshi is prayers to Saraswati Devi. So here that is the same thing, that Saraswati Vilasam, that, but it is all useless at the end, because suppose you have spoken a lot, that does not mean you will get the experience. You will get the experience. Remember in the Kathopanishad, that verse comes, Nayam Atma Pravajanena Labhyo Na Medhaya Na Bahuna Shrutena. We have spoken about this verse before. That Atma or self-realization, you won't get it by any means. Any means, it's not possible to have it. Na Labhyo Na Medhaya. Not by intelligence. Not even that if you have heard a lot, you may not get it. Bahuna Shrutena. Bahuna Shrutena. So there, Shruti is saying here, Upanishads are saying here, just you have heard a lot, you are not going to get it. You may have a lot of intelligence, doesn't mean you will get it. You may have good memory, you may not get it. Knowledge won't come. But what does he say there? Kathopanishad, if you look, you will see. That is a very famous statement in the Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad is saying to us, Nayam Alpa Pravachanena Labhyam Na Medhaya. It is in the early verses. It is. Yeah. It's 23 verse in the second canto. Nayam alpa pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena yamai vaisham vrunudetena labhya tasesham atma vrunudetanam swam. That atma is like that. Nayam alpa pravachanena labhyo न मेधया न बहुना श्रुतेन यमैवैषम वृणुदे तेन अलभ्य तस्येषम आत्मा विवृणुदे तनुं स्वाम विवृणुदे तनुं स्वाम.
What it means is, till Andaryami inside give you that, you won't have it. Till Andaryami gives it to you, you can't have it. Just because you have heard a lot, you have read a lot, you have studied a lot, means nothing. Till Andaryami gives it to you. Because the reason, when will Andaryami give it to you? When you have accepted Andaryami properly. So only that person who has realized the presence of Andaryami inside as the source of everything, and then when he gives that, and it is from that Sharanagati or surrender to Andaryami, Andaryami reveals to you that experience of the Anubhavam of the Atma. That is what that verse is saying. Yamai Vasham Vrunude Ten Alabhyaha Tasesham Atma Vivrunude Tanim Swam. Vivrunude Tanim Swam. So, only that fortunate person who has taken shelter of Atma, Andaryami inside, to him, Andaryami shows him what his real identity is. Vivrunude Tanim Swam. That is what that verse is saying there. So, that such a person, that it is, and who is that person? That means he has bhakti, sharanagati inside, that bhavam has to come first. Bhakti and sharanagati has to happen. That means the body, mind, intelligence, all these things, he has offered to Krishna, and mind, body, mind, intelligence, all these things, he is using it, but having offered to Krishna. That means Krishna is working through them. That devotee, he is jnani. He is jnani. That is that the next verse. You will see that next verse. We will discuss that after break. Naivalpana prabhurayam. That is the 11th verse. Naivalpana prabhurayam nijalabha purno. Manam janada vidushakkarano vrinite. Yadyajano bhagavade vidadhidamanam tachalpane pratimukhasya yathamukhashri. That 11th verse. We will have a short break now. Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shreyakailava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipada purnamrudaswadhanam सर्वात्मा सुवनं परम विजयदे श्री कृष्ण संकीर्तनम नाना महारि बहुदा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिदा निमिदा स्मरणेन काला एदादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममाभि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहा जनिनानुरागा तारारविशुचीनेन तरोरभि सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि नथनम न जनम न सुंदरी कविदां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरी भवदात् भक्तिरहै तुगित्वये मयि नंदन योजगिंगरम पतिनामां शमे भवाम्बुदो कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितदूलि सदृशं विचिन्तयाम नयनं गलदश्रुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निर्जनं गदावभू तवन्नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुगं निमेषेण प्राविशायितं शून्यायितं जगत् सर्वं गोविन्द विरहेण मे अश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु मां अदर्शनां मर्म करोतु वा यथा तथा मां लम्बडो मल्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा. Naivalpana prabhurayam nijalabha purno manam janada visho karino vrnide yadhyajjano bhagavate vidadhiyamanam tachalpane pratimukhasya yathamukhashri. That's 11th verse.
Prahlada is saying that pay your obeisances to Krishna and glorify Krishna. Prahlada is saying, Naivalpana Prabhurayam Nijalava Purno Manam Jana Davidusho Kurano Vranide Yadjano Bhagavade Vidadhita Manam Tachalpane Pratimukhasya Yatha Mukhashri. Then, so sometimes people say, there's nobody who is so egoistic like Krishna. He wants everybody to come and stand in front of him and glorify him. What sort of person and God is this? Then, and those who are glorifying him, he blesses them, and those who don't, he doesn't offer anything to them. So he's got a lot of ego in him, isn't it? That's like that, isn't it? And Krishna enjoys this glorification. So, and they are saying, oh, look at Krishna, how beautiful his eyes are, how beautiful his ears are, how beautiful his nose is. And that is not what Prahlada is talking about here. Not that kind of glorifications. But Prahlada is asking a little bit more than that. Because people are thinking, when you read the glorifications in different places, you will see, talking about Krishna's eyes, so beautiful they are, or Krishna's hair, it's so beautiful, Krishna's bodily features, so beautiful they are. And is that glorification enough for Krishna? No, that after glorifying Krishna, and when Krishna is pleased, what has to happen after that? That is the important thing. That what is going to happen to you after glorifying Krishna, that's more important. That is why Prahlada is saying here that Krishna doesn't need any of your glorifications. Krishna doesn't need any of your glorifications. But if you don't glorify Krishna, what will happen? That's what he's saying there. Naiva alpana prabhurayam nijalabha purno manam janada vidushakuruno vrinide yadyajjano bhagavade vidadhidamanam tachalpane pratimukhasya yatha mukhashri. This verse is a direct interpretation, exactly the same, the first verse in the Dakshinamurti. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari. That verse, the first verse. So, that you will understand. When we explain this verse, you will know what that relationship is. If you don't glorify Krishna, what will happen is, you will glorify yourself. That's the first problem. You won't glorify Krishna, you have to glorify somebody. So, instead of glorifying Krishna, you will start glorifying about your own glories. Isn't it? So, in order to get rid of that problem from inside, our problem, which is everybody's problem, that Prahlada is saying, do it for Krishna, you will get out of that trouble. Because our own glorification ends up in the strengthening of the ego inside. And if you glorify Krishna, you will come out of that problem. So, this is the secret of jnanam. The secret of jnanam is this, that whatever you like the best in this world, offer everything to Krishna. That is the secret. Secret is this. Whatever you like the very best in this world, anything. If you get attracted by money, offer it to Krishna. If you get attracted by flowers, offer it to Krishna. If you get attracted by clothes, offer it to Krishna. Wherever your attraction goes, give it to Krishna. That is the way to come out. That is what this verse is all about. That Krishna is saying here. So, you will see in another place, Krishna saying this. Yadya ishtaramam loge yachadi priyamalpana tatta nivedayan mahyam tada anandhyaya kalpade. This is the secret of this offering to Krishna, giving it to Krishna. Then if you hold on to things what you like, I like this, I'll keep it with me. What I don't like, Krishna can have it. That is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is, whatever you want it in this world, keep on giving that to Krishna. That is what Prahlada is saying here. Krishna also says this to Uddhava. You will see that in the 14th chapter, in the 11th canto.
It's a famous verse. It is from this principle, the rishis who knew this, they introduced into the society and everybody followed that in course of time. That's why people come to the temple with rice, dal, sabjis and everything, milk, butter, cheese, everything, give it to Krishna. That is how it started. And that became a habit, but people have forgotten the principle behind that. People are doing it, many people do that, but they forget that underlying principle. If you look into the 14th chapter in the 11th canto, you will see Krishna saying there, Yadyat ishtadamam loge yachadi priyamatmana. I think it is in the 14th. No. Yadyat ishtadamam loge yachadi priyamatmana tatan nivedayan mahyam tadanandhyaya kalpade. While talking about bhakti, to Uddhava, he say, 41, 11, 41. That is, it's a very famous verse that is, because people have gone to Krishna with what they have got and given it to Krishna. Krishna has accepted that. Whether you are ready for that or that, that's what Krishna is saying. Yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyamalmana tatan nivedayan mahyam tadanandhyaya kalpade. Krishna says, if you do that, you will see the results that comes from that. Is you cannot measure that, Krishna is saying. You cannot measure it, that the results that will come from that. So, the same principle that in the, you know, these Buddhist stories, Bauddha Katha, there's a book you can buy. The time when Lord Buddha's time, what so many stories, relationship with Buddha's life in this world, Bauddha Katha they call it. There is a story there. One beggar, there is a beggar, and all his clothes are all very torn, and he is asking for food, begging for things, right? And he is asking everyone, clothes are completely torn, give me one dhoti or a veshti or whatever it is. Nobody was giving any attention to him, they didn't care. So, Lord Buddha came that way, when he was there, and a lot of people were listening to that. And they were more interested in listening to Lord Buddha, what Buddha had to say, not this person what he was asking for. And they didn't know who he is asking for, this beggar, they had no idea who it is. And so this person who was asking this, he was looking at Buddha, and seeing Buddha, tears started coming from his eyes. And listening to Buddha, he was listening to Buddha. So, Buddha also started looking at him. Just from the very looks of this person, Buddha felt compassion for him and started looking at him. At that time, a king of the time, at that time, called Prasenajit, he comes there, at that place. So, Buddha says to this king, you give your good clothes to him. To this poor man. You give it to him, he said. No, the king says, immediately he's a king, isn't it? He ordered that go to the palace and get some nice clothes for him. The king says to him. So, and he did not look at the king or the people who were there, who this beggar. Beggar was looking at Buddha. But the beggar was not looking at everything what was happening. And he kept looking at Buddha and seeing Buddha. Buddha was an amazing personality, the influence he had was. Tears were coming from his eyes. The king ordered to bring the clothes from the palace, plenty of clothes for him. They brought it and gave all that clothes to this beggar, And he took it. And he didn't look at the clothes, what kind of clothes, how good they are, how bad they are, none of this. And he brought all that clothes and left it at Buddha's lotus feet and paid his obeisances to Buddha. What Krishna is saying here. That heart behind it, that when he got the best in the world, the king has given it to him, he felt the need to go and hand it over to Buddha. Imagine that heart behind it. He is a beggar, but look at the heart behind it. That is what Krishna is also saying there. Yadyadishtadamam loge yachadi priyama almana tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anandyaya kalpadeyam. So, So, when he got these clothes, this beggar felt, I should give it to Buddha, he felt. He felt, I should give it to Buddha. And then the king told him, when he did that, king said, bring more clothes and to give it to him. He brought that also and gave it to Buddha again. Because as a beggar, even though he had these stone clothes and everything, even though he was asking for a cloth, when the good things came, he wanted to give it to Buddha. Buddha was like Krishna at that time. He was so much honored by the devotees. So, in this way, 900 pieces of clothes were brought and everything given to Buddha. Everything what came to him, he didn't feel like taking one piece of cloth from that for himself. So, this is how it is. When he saw a great personality like Lord Buddha, immediately he wanted to give everything to him. And at that time, what has happened? He lost his attention on himself. That's what happens. If you keep on giving to Krishna, what happens? Attention on yourself will go. At the moment, all our attention is on us. Isn't it? Hold on, everything tight to the chest. Don't want to give anything. So that selfishness will build up inside. What Krishna is saying here is, and this is this principle of bhakti, that what is this Prahlada is saying here, naivalpana prabhurayam nijalabhapurno manam janad avidusho kuruno pranite yadyajano bhagavate vidhadidamanam tachalpane pratimukhasya yatha mukhashri. So he says here that the benefit of this is, you will lose your identification with yourself, with the body, mind and intelligence. You get free. You will get released from your bodily identity. That is the benefit of giving to Krishna. Krishna doesn't need anything from us. What does he need from us? But if you keep on giving it to Krishna, your identity with your body will get relaxed. You will start feeling a heavy weight going away from your shoulders. Otherwise you made billions of pounds here. Tomorrow you're gone. What good is that life? What did we gain from that? Again, next life you'll come back and start another making billion pounds. That's all. That's all where it goes to. So that is these underlying, these are principles of bhakti. That's what Prahlada is explaining there. That when Maharshi's case, for example, when he was living in Virubaksha Guha, the cave in the Tirunamalai, at that time he used to stay there simply with one cowbean. That was his dress. Just one cowbean, that is all, nothing else. So, one person who had more clothes than Maharshi, one beggar, he comes there and he says to Maharshi, it was a little bit cold, not that cold, little bit cold. In Trinamalai it doesn't get that cold, but still it gets cold in the winter. So he says to Maharshi that it's a bit cold, isn't it? And you are standing with this one cowpin, no blanket, no shawl, no dhoti, nothing, just wearing one this cowpin. So, and he couldn't bear that. He was thinking that Maharshi didn't have proper food either, and proper place to sleep. He was living as like the rishis lived in the forest, with total so severe austerities as well. So, he couldn't bear that. He kept looking at the Maharshi and says, what did they do? And he noticed that many people are coming, and what they were saying was that, look, he's sitting there purely only with this kaupinam. Kaupinam is sitting there. Then they'll say, if he puts any clothes on him, he will say, oh, now he has started putting clothes on him. Now, general class of people, they expect from a Maharshi like this way that he shouldn't eat, he shouldn't sleep, he shouldn't have clothes, and he should sit in the cold weather, hot weather, everything. And we will go there in the air-conditioned car, with all dressed up in the suit or whatever, in the best possible way, and we will go there, and when we see Maharshi in that way, we are happy. If Maharshi put... Our human psychology is like that. We will go with all dressed up nicely, but we expect Maharshi to be in that way, to remain like that, isn't it? And that is our selfishness like that. The problem with us is, we are looking for perfection in somebody else. In others, we are looking for perfection. So, this beggar who came that day, he saw people who are coming all nicely dressed up, and they are seeing Maharshi, paying his respects, everything, and they are going away. Because they are seeing, he is Maharshi, he shouldn't be wearing any clothes, he doesn't have any cold or heat. That's how they are thinking. So this beggar who came that day and saw Maharshi sitting like this, he felt in his heart, why is he suffering like this in this cold weather? So what he did was, he went around looking, asking people for some money, and then collected whatever money he could collect and went to a shop in Tiruvannamalai. And Tiruvannamalai at those days, in those days, it's a small town it was. If you go now, it is developing fast because of the temple. And the temple was there, but there was no businesses like the way it is now. If you walk around now, there was a whole shops and shopping mall and everything is coming up there. Internet services and, you know, like in the modern way, how the towns develop in the way. So it wasn't there before. So not many shops were there to buy anything. So he walked all the way from another town called Chengam. Chengam, a few miles away from there. He went there and bought from there a blanket and brought back to, and brought it to Ravana Maharshi and gave it to him and told him, please accept this and use this, he said. Maharshi says to him that I can't accept this because you don't have anything. Okay. They were all like this, that they had no attraction for any of these things. That they will live in this world with a very bare minimum. That was sufficient for them. So, and when you don't have it, how can I accept this from you? Beggar also is like that. This person who was doing all these things, he also didn't have anything. So he insisted. He kept on insisting. He said, it is cold and you can't live like this. And so he says, so this beggar, he was wearing a blanket as a dhoti he was wearing in the cold weather. Blankets, beggars are, as they say, no choosers. They are not choosers. Whatever they get, they wear it, isn't it? All they want is some protection from the cold weather. So Maharshi's, and that was torn, everything. So Maharshi says to him, you give me that, I will wear that. And this new one, you can have it. He says, says to him, you want new one, you can have it. So he felt bad. How can you give it to someone who, what you are wearing yourself? He says to him. For him, important thing is that Maharshi should not feel the cold. So nothing else is important for him. Finally he gave it and took the new blanket and went away. At least Maharshi will wear that, he thought. After that, Maharshi says about this, that the old company, when he has the blanket, when he was using it, you know, the old blankets, in them days, blankets were not that good quality like the way you can buy now. If you go into Himalayas and all, Badrinath and all, sometimes you will see, now you find much more refined blankets you can buy. But those days, if you put the blanket, you have to put some soft cloth before and then put the blanket on. Otherwise, this blanket will poke into the body and you won't be able to sleep with that. So Maharshi says, he says that the old one is getting into the body and gave me a lot of pain already. And he was saying that the new one what he has brought, that will also be giving the same problem for this beggar who bought this for him. So, but then, and he said that it does not matter. He said, once you have offered something to Krishna or to the spiritual master for that matter, yadyajane bhagavato vidadidhamanam yachalpane pratimukhasya yathamukhashri. See that what he's saying there? That is the greatest reverence you can show to your real self. Giving something to Krishna or to the spiritual master, generally it is spoken, Krishna has spoken to Uddhava with reference to Krishna himself. With reference to Krishna himself, he says there, that yadyadishtadamam loge achadi priyamalpana tatan nivedayan mahyam tadanandhyay kalpade.
Anything what you have given to Krishna, it will come back to you. And where will that show the beauty? In you, not in Krishna. Whatever you have offered to Krishna, it will come back and beautify you. The beauty will be seen in you, not in Krishna. Whatever you have offered to Krishna, the beauty reflects on you. That is what he is saying there.
Yadya jano bhagavate vidadhi dhamanam tachalpmane pradimukhasya yatha mukhashri.
How? Just like when you look at the mirror, whatever you have decorated yourself in your face, it reflects in the mirror, isn't it? Similarly, whatever you have done to Krishna, it reflects in you, opposite way. That's how it works. Whatever you have done to yourself, it reflects in the mirror. Suppose I have put a lot of makeup, everything, and made myself very beautiful to look at, and I look at the mirror, everything I see in the mirror. Similarly, whatever you have done to Krishna, whatever you have given to Krishna or served Krishna, done anything for Krishna, it all comes back to you at the end and it makes you better, makes you look good, makes you look feel better. This is the same principle, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari, that if you, the same thing, if there is a problem in the world, correction is inside me required, not in the world. Because world is a reflection of my vasana inside. When Ajari Swamiji, in the bhakti language it's spoken like this. In the jnanam language it is spoken the other way. Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari. The first verse, what we spoke about, it's a big understanding, very higher understanding that it is. Upanishads are saying this, Dakshinamurti Stotram is saying this, Prahlada is saying this. All the realized souls will say exactly the same thing. That problem is not in the world, problem is inside me. This is where I need the correction. If I correct it here, that problem will go. In due course it will go. If it is a person, that person will go away from my connection. Because there is some connection between me and that person inside me. And this is a topic which we have to ourselves analyze it in our own life in this world and put it into practice in practical life. So that is why he is saying here that that doing for Krishna, that is the greatest reference you can show to your real self. That means you are respecting the Antaryami inside by offering to Krishna. Because whatever you give it to your body and the mind, that is for the body and the mind, but you are not giving it to you. Suppose you buy a very expensive set of clothes and wear that, or buy a car and use it. All that is for the body and the mind, is it not? But if you want to give it to yourself something, you are not even giving it to yourself, you are giving it to your body and the mind. But if you want to give it to yourself, that means to Antaryami inside, this is how you give it to him. If you want to give it to your own Antaryami something, then this is how you give it to him. You give it to Krishna, because by giving it to Krishna, you are giving it to your Antaryami. It will come back into the Antaryami. Antaryami will be pleased by that. This principle, that is what it is. It is there in all the Shastram spoken in different languages. So, everything what you do for your body is actually you are insulting yourself. You are insulting yourself. That is what Shastram says. That everything what you do for your body, you are insulting yourself. Why? You can see that, for example, if a person is wearing very good clothes, we respect him because he is dressed very well. We say like that, isn't it? Or if somebody comes with a lot of jewelry in the neck, he comes, we say, oh, he's got, you feel a automatically kind of respect towards that person, isn't it? Or what will happen? You'll feel envy towards that person. Or you will speak insulting in some way, or dvesham, hate, something will develop, some emotion will develop inside. Sometimes you say, oh, you look nice, but you will think inside something different.
So what happens is, when you dress yourself nicely and you become an object of envy or hate from others, isn't it? That is the only profit from that. That's only profit in that. So, or if you have these expensive things, the thief will take away. One day thief will steal or you lose it. So, therefore, Krishna is saying that these things have to be utilized. Whether it's clothes or whether it's jewelry or wealth, whatever it may be, it has to be utilized. And it doesn't have any other benefit except for using in Krishna's service. That's the only use it has, really. Any object in this world. As Krishna is saying there, yadyadishtatamam loge yachadipriyam alpana tatan nivedayan mahyam tado anandyaya kalpade. So, from that verse also you can understand, things which are not useful, don't bring it to me and give it to me. Krishna is saying. Things people do all sorts of things that things I don't need or you don't need, don't bring it and give it to me. He's insisting that, specifically saying that what you like you have to give it, not that what you don't like. Sometimes people think, I don't need it anymore, let me give it to the temple. Temple can have it. This is not right understanding. Yadyad ishtaramam loge yachadi priyamalpana. Krishna is specifically mentioning there like that. He says only what you like you should give it. Otherwise it won't have the benefit. It won't have the benefit. So that means the one what you like the best and give it to me. And and Krishna's nature is those whom Krishna likes, from them Krishna takes everything, accepts everything and takes it everything from them. And that is what Krishna is saying, that they will, from that you will get endless result. Tada anandaya kalpade. Anandaya kalpade means the result will be endless. So, so when we come, bring something and give it to Krishna in the temple, actually to whom are you giving it? You are giving it to yourself, the Antaryami inside. In other words, to your real self you are giving it. Who is present inside a Santaryami? Who is the real self? It is to him you are giving it, isn't it? Or in other words, really if you are giving it to yourself anything, this is how to give it to yourself. By giving it to Krishna, you are giving it to yourself, real self, not to the body, mind. Everything else you are giving it to the body, your body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses. Those things you are giving it to that, all other things in this world. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. So that's why he says that whatever we are giving, anything else what you give will not go to you, to your Swarupam. Swarupam is Atma, Antaryami. It will not go to him. It will go, it goes and goes to, goes and joins your body, joins your mind, joins your ego. Or senses. That's, it goes and joins there. None of them will go to your real self. Only thing what you have given to Krishna goes to your real self. This is the subtle principle. Subtle principle. From this is a big principle in bhakti jnanam everywhere. It's a big principle in bhakti jnanam. In bhakti, Prahlada is putting it like this. In jnanam, Ajari Swamiji has put it in the other way. That's all it is. This is what I was saying, Dakshinamurti Stotram and Prahlada study, Prahlada study, when you keep going through it, you will see that similarity. What is bhakti, bhakti and jnanam is actually not different. In one way we say, mochakarana samagriyam bhaktireva gariyasi, swaswarubhanu anusandhanam bhaktirityabhidiyade, Vivekachudamani verse 31. It says, mochakarana samagriyam bhaktireva gariyasi, for all the processes in the for liberation,
Bhakti has a very higher effect. Moshakarana samagriyam bhaktireva giriyasi. So swarubhanu anusandhanam bhaktiritya vidhiyade. Acharya Swamiji is statement in the Viveka Chudamani, that 31 verse number. So he says like that, and then in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what does it say in the second canto? Mukti ki tanyadharupam swarubena vyavasthiti. Mukti means that anyadharupam tektva, that means giving up your identification with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, swarubena vyavasthiti, to be situated on the platform of the soul. So when you start realizing this and understanding this, you can see the benefit from that. How Krishna consciousness is the only way to actually glorify or to improve your position. That means if you want to help yourself, if you want to help yourself, the way to help is this. Offer to Krishna, and Krishna has to do it, because Krishna is sitting inside the heart of Sandariyami. Not by decorating the body or decorating the other things. Everything else is, Krishna is saying here, for example, nothing else is going to the Swarupam. Swarupam only what you have given to Krishna. Like, when you look at the mirror, if there is some dirt on your face, you can't wipe it in the mirror. When you look at the mirror, if there is some dirt in the face, you can't wipe it in the mirror. So, you have to wipe your own face, isn't it? And if you have wiped your face, cleaned it, then in the mirror, if you look at it, it will look clean, isn't it? Similarly, all our defects, problems what we have got, if that has to go in us, then we have to go back to the soul. We have to go back to the soul, Atma. If you try to clean your body and the mind, if you give it there anything, it is like this mirror. It is like this mirror, because all of that is a reflection. All of that is a reflection. Whereas, if you give it to yourself, Swarupam, your real identity, that is why that is why he uses the word Vidadhidhamanam. Vidadhidhamanam. Vidadhidhamanam means that is the proper way to respect yourself. You are respecting yourself. We say self-respect. You see, what does that mean? This is the proper self-respect. That you are giving it, respecting that Andaryami inside, which is your Swarupam. That is your Swarupam. That is where you have to offer the respect, not to the body and the mind. When people insult you, they insult you on your bodily level, isn't it? Or the mental level. So, and this is the greatest respect, says Prahlada. Tachalmane yadyajano bhagavade vidadidhamanam. Tachalmane pradimukhasya yathamukhashri. So, you remember in the beginning of Bhikshu Gita, Uddhava asked Krishna that question. Is it not? Uddhava says to Krishna, how do I tolerate this problems of this world? People will speak nishtido, mutridova, they'll pass urine on you, they will do this, that, and the other. What did Krishna say? Krishna says, through Bhikshu I learned one lesson. What was that? Krishna is saying like this, that Bhikshu is saying that as long as I remain in the platform of the mind, all these insults and all other bad words that were spoken affects me. But when I am in the platform of the soul, what meaning has it got? It's coming for the body and it goes like that. I'm not this body. What do I have to do with it? Isn't it? So same thing in all the great personalities, they had to live in this world. This is how they tolerated others. Tolerated others. Maharshi himself was, in many instances, people used to insult him, spoke to him very rudely to him. But in one instance, one person asked him, what do I do? People are, because once you take to spiritual life, a lot of people will criticize you for various reasons. And what do I do? Somebody asked Maharshi. Maharshi says that if somebody insults you, you also join him and insult you. Insult yourself. Pakanar did that. One day Pakanar was going in the street. Pakanar came from a very lower background in that sense. And Pakanar was very hungry. He was so hungry that he couldn't get any food. Nobody gave any food to him. So one fruit vendor was selling bananas.
And he had this trolley like thing on which he has stored the banana. He left it on the street and he has gone to the toilet or something. Till then he left it there, nobody will take it. He thought, Pakanar thought there's nobody there. He took a few bananas and ate it from that. So when he came back, he caught hold of Pakanar. He saw Pakanar has stolen all these things. He caught hold of Pakanar and started beating him. Pakanar says to him, beat him very little bit more. Because I told him not to take the fruits, he said. But he has gone and done it, what can I do? He said, beat him as much as he wants. That man didn't know what he's talking about. He says, so because in Pakanar, like Maharshi said, that realization, he is insulting and rudely talking to me. To whom? To this body, isn't it? Body has done something, what can I do? Body has gone and taken it and ate it. Because body wanted the food. I didn't want the food. Body wanted it. So body took it. So give him some good thrashing, he said. Pakanar said to the fruit vendor. So, similarly, one instance, because for once you have realized the truth, all these things has no meaning. In our material world, what we do, we glorify people. We call a big assembly of people and say we glorify this person, that person, other thing. And Maharshi and Krishna also says in the Bhagavadam that actually those who are insulting you and offending you, they are actually doing you a favor. They are doing you a favor because it will keep your ahankaram in a controlled state. So he is actually doing you a favor. So, once in one occasion, this is very funny, one devotee came and he was good in glorifying different deities and all. So what he did was he wrote a nice few verses about Maharshi and started reciting in front of Maharshi these verses. So what did Maharshi did? He also joined him and started reciting about himself. He is singing these verses. What he was written about him, Maharshi joined him and started singing the same verses. So he got confused. This man who had come, he got confused. So he says to Maharshi, Maharshi, I am singing about you and you are also singing the same song what I am singing. So Maharshi says to him, all that you have mentioned my name in there, that's not me, he says. So he's not going to me anyway. So what Maharshi did was, the name what he has mentioned, he has completely changed the name. He says, the name you are using, the word Ramana, that's what he used. I am not Ramana. Who is actually Ramana? He says, that is not this body, but the vastu inside, that Atma, Andhangriyavi inside, he is Ramana. So, am I not allowed to sing the glories of that? He said. Basically saying, I don't want this glorification on the bodily level. It has no meaning. So, any stuti, any glorifications should never be taken in the platform of the body or the mind. Instead, it should be only accepted as offering to Antaryami. Otherwise, you know what will happen. In this world, we sometimes glorify somebody after they left this world and we have a big meeting and then glorification for ourselves. So, because all the insult and all the glorification is for upadhi. Nobody performs glorification or insult knowing who you are. Is it not? When they are insulting you or when they are glorifying you, they don't know who you are actually. That means, who are they insulting and who are they glorifying? Your body, your mind, etc. Is it not? Your ahankaram. That's what they are glorifying. Or that's what they are insulting. So, what they are saying is that all the stuti ninda, that means glorification and insult,
It's all for the upadhi. It's all for the upadhi. But when it is stuti is for andaryami, then it has some benefit. It has some benefit. Upadhi, stuti, both of them, Ninda and stuti, instead of for the upadhi, it should become for andaryami. It should become for andaryami. And one who knows this technique, one who knows this secret or technique, for him, whatever happens, tachalpane pratimukhasya yatha mukhasri. See the last line? What is it saying? Anything that is given to andaryami, it will go and join andaryami inside. Because when you glorify a person looking at his body and the mind and senses, it will not go to the Atma inside. It's not going to the real person inside. It's going to the body and to the Ahangaram inside. It's not getting to the point where it is meant to go. You are not glorifying him. You are glorifying his Ahangaram and the body. That is what Prahlada is pointing out there. That only if you are Ahangaram, and instead of glorifying Ahangaram and the body and the mind and other things, if the glorification goes straight into the person, in order that to happen, that all our, for example, puja, deity worship, and many other things, it is not correctly going to the right spot. That is why we are not feeling happy even after doing deity worship. While doing deity worship, if the person does not have the proper realization inside, if he is just doing like a work, I have to do something, I have been paid for it, so I have to do this. I'm doing it. If you keep doing like this, it will never reach the place where it's meant to go. That's why thousands of years we are doing deity worship and we are still where we are. For this reason. Of course, it is a science known to those who are advanced in the deity worship process. And that is why we are not feeling that happiness inside, satisfaction inside. Once it goes to the Atma inside, satisfaction will come from that. So, therefore, stuti for Krishna and wealth for Krishna. And shariram, or the body and the mind, for Krishna. The children, the wealth, everything for Krishna. If you do like that, all others will normally fall into the right place. Everything else will eventually get the benefit. In the Ambarisha story, if you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 9th canto, Ambarisha story, he says here, Krishna is saying there about Ambarisha. Have you read that, what Krishna said about Ambarisha? Krishna says, when Durvasa Maharshi came there to Vaikuntham and told Krishna, that Mahavishnu, that look, this Sudarshanam is chasing me. What do I do? Mahavishnu says to him, I can't do anything because this Ambarish has done one thing. He has handed over everything to me. Because he has handed over everything, including himself. Therefore, I have no option. I can't say anything. Sudarshanam is there to protect him all the time. I can't do anything. So, therefore, he mentions there that children, and Ambarish offered his wife, his children, the wealth, everything to me. How can I let him go? He says there. And so, everything, when it becomes for the sake of andaryami, in everything it becomes like that, then a power that comes from andaryami to look after everything in relationship with you. Everything else will be looked after by andaryami. When everything is offered to andaryami, there is a special power that comes from andaryami to look after everything for you. To look after everything for you. So, that is why he mentions here that the So, that is why in Vairagya Shatakam it mentions that this insulting and glorifications and so many other things, that you don't need a wife, you don't need a husband, you don't need a children, you don't need a family. All these things are spoken with the idea that to develop that Vairagyam inside. Vairagyam inside. That means, as long as you keep saying, I don't need all these things, and you stay like that, Like in the prayers you can see that you keep saying that I don't need this, I don't need this, so many things. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Prayers like that. Why is the prayer spoken like that? The reason behind that is this. That somehow or the other to lose that attachment there. That is all it is. That's what it means. That the attachment should go from inside. Suppose you say, I don't need all these things. And if you say like that and staying like that, you are in the sadhana stage. You are still in the sadhana stage. It is not perfection yet. It is not perfection yet. So, if you say nathanam najanam na sundarim and saying that I don't want this, I don't want this, it is a stage of vairagyam, but it is not perfection. Perfection is when you offering everything to Krishna. That is when it becomes perfection. Because what's happening is that you are recognizing that everything belongs to Krishna, who is the Antaryami inside me. Who is the Antaryami? Antaryami inside me. And it is from there this verse is coming. This verse is coming. There's a lot to talk about that verse, which we will continue tomorrow. But in the meanwhile, I think Anil has spoken to them, to the authorities here. And they said we could have the classes from 15th, isn't it, Anil? From 15th, Saturday morning, we will start here at 6, 6 to 11, we'll have. And Sunday, we will have at Vishnu's house, again from 7 to 11, 7 to 11. 7 to 11, yeah, 7 to 11. And so Sundays we'll have it at Vishnu's, that's from 15th onwards. 15th Saturday here, and Sunday 16th at Vishnu's house, and that way from that day onwards. Except one Saturday we have to make an adjustment because they already booked that. That is on the 7th of 5th of September. That's one Saturday. That 5th of September, we will have both the programs probably at Vishnu's house. 5th Saturday and 6th Sunday. Yeah. So, oh, that's Janmashtami weekend. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, 6th is Janmashtami. 5th is Janmashtami. Yeah, and 6th is also Vyasa Puja. Yeah. So that's another thing. Yeah, we should have a class. So where can we have it then? We can have it at Vishnu's house, if that's okay. And on 5th and 6th. Isn't it? We have it at Vishnu's house. Prasadam also at Vishnu's house.
Weekend, yeah.
Is that okay, Vishnu? Yeah. 5th and 6th, yeah? Yeah. Here it's not available. Saturday is Janmashtami, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Prasadam will go to the temple. Prasadam will go to the temple.
We'll have to make special passes for Prasadam then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just have your photos ready.
So that's all it is. We'll see tomorrow then.